Hey guys, sorry, I'm having some issues with everything right now. Hang on. Great. Right, let's try this. Sorry again. Good times.
FM. Bigot Radio.
You're listening to Bigot Radio.
with your host, Jeremy McKenzie.
Burn it all down! Blow it all up!
Guys, welcome back. Sort out my own life here. I don't know what's going on with this crap. Turn it off. Turn it off. It's a good old back in the day song. That's the cope a lot of people don't seem to be able to deal with. My computer is fucked up now. I guess I got to get a new one. It's 3 years old. So that in computer years is 78. 78. So, you know, basic programs like music players, Word documents. It's a heavy lifting for a computer that's 3 years old. It's just, you know, it's beyond. It's much too difficult. So I don't think I've ever had my last one. I think I got 5 or 6 years out of that, which was unheard of. Generally, 2 to 3 years is kind of the norm for how long these last before they just fall apart. And that one was blown up. In an illegal gun range, it was filled with explosives and blown to bits, and then they mailed the pieces of it back to me as proof, I guess, which is what you want. You do want, you know, the head delivered. You need that. How are you guys doing? How was your March break? Was it any good? Probably not. I mean, if you're in Canada, no, it wasn't, because there's nothing good about this place really at all. Maybe some of you guys got out and went somewhere else or found something to do. I hope you did. I spent most of it with my family, so... Mine was okay. I definitely had worse ones. I was trying to say, was I ever deployed for any of them? I don't think so, but I'm going to try to... Oh, I almost didn't bother with this tonight. I'm going to try to provide something for the next couple hours. I don't know how long. It's very late. I started late. It's been a time pretty buried in nonsense and just problems, you know, just one thing after the other. That's the modern contemporary world now, especially if you have to do anything or you're trying to do anything involving other people. Yeah, forget it. You're setting yourself up for issues and problems. So I'm going to read some of these chats here. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. John Honkak or Jan Hon, whatever, says the following. Thank you, Jan. Discernment between foolishness and judgmentalism. Love between selfishness and enablement. Respect between disregard and idolatry. Humility between pride and degradation. Diligence between slothfulness and workaholism. Temperance between, whoa, licentiousness and strictness, courage between cowardice and foolishness. Fuck you make me, Six Emperor Tyrannus. Thank you, Jan. I appreciate that. Absolutely zero. This is a couple bucks for the good fight. Take care. Thanks, man. I will do that. Thank you. Appreciate that. You too. And Mega just says, take this. I will. I don't really have a choice, but I appreciate it. Lou's Views on Rumble says, miss you. I hope you had an awesome spring break with your kids. Thanks, Lou. It's nice. You know, it's nice to spend longer stretches of time, you know, and if any of you guys have kids, especially if they're young, try to make the most of it because it goes so fast. There's a lot of freaks out there that are trying to hurt me and my family and my kids and so on, so I don't want to give too much information away, but, you know, even how old they are, what anything about them, really. I've never, you know. It goes fast, and just little things like, just a short moment there, right? My daughter couldn't sleep, and, you know, so she, you know, was in my, you know, bed for a while reading her book while, you know, her brothers are, you know, giving her a hard time because the light's on and all this kind of stuff. So I said, okay, you can, you know, go sleep in there. It's okay. I'll come back, check on you in a little while. And you go back up and she's asleep. And you got to carry her to bed. And I just, you know, she's heavy. She's getting big. And it just kind of, it struck me that, like, I don't know how many more times I'll ever get to do this. It goes quick. And that's probably what I miss the most is just that stuff like that. Just regular dad stuff. Is often maybe underappreciated, or, you know, I mean, not by the dads themselves, but it's just not talked about or really pushed or not the forefront of our minds in our society anymore. Nothing really good is. And they're, you know, they're everything. You gotta have your reason to get up in the morning, and there's not really a better one than that. And you know, the 51st state talk has certainly escalated a lot. I have some opinions on that. I've been working on a short Substack series regarding that. I've had to, you know, part two, I've had to rewrite a couple times, and I'm still not finished with it. It's very long, and there's a lot going on. Maybe I need a third one. I don't know. It's a lot, but I could just try to lay out some, because there's so many things that people just don't seem to understand, and no one seems willing or able to explain any of it. Like, for instance, the actual capability and state of our military, which I'm intimately familiar with. I didn't leave it that long ago. I still know a lot of guys involved, and it's not gotten better. It's gotten much worse. And spoiler, it's bad. It's really bad, and it is as if, though, Ottawa and all of its sycophant morons and the people, they think that the military is just some mythical creature or a genie in a bottle. They can just run, and it will just come and do the stuff, and it's, you know, as if they're all equal. Oh, we have an army, they have an army, everybody has an army, you know. There's so many things and factors that go into this that they don't seem to appreciate it all, and they're living in a delusional fantasy world where they must think it's 1960 and that's the military we have and we're working with, and it's not. It's a fraction. It's frighteningly small, and I've said this many times, and it's not changed. It's become more true with time, not less. If PEI, the province, decided to revolt and just throw off the state and we're just going to go totally, you know, rebellion mode or something, the Canadian military is incapable of handling that situation. It does not have the manpower, resources, money, vehicle, nothing. It has nothing it needs to contain that. It can't do it. It can't defend the country. It can't enforce our will or goals or anything overseas or anywhere. The best we can do is give you a token force of a few hundred guys. And in an actual war, that will amount to an afternoon of people dying for no reason. The Canadian doctrine and battle plan, as far as the Russians go, and hasn't changed since the 50s, since the end of the Second World War, is to, well, if it wasn't the Fulda Gap, that's kind of a, right now, it's to just hold a position in Latvia and delay the Russians as long as possible, which is estimated to be about 14 hours. After, you know, and it's,
between 14 and 40 hours, after which the entire Canadian military is destroyed and it no longer exists. And that is so we can stand up to Putin or whatever. Like, they have no respect for human life, never mind ours. They don't care about human life, but of all the human life they don't care about, the Canadian lives are at the absolute bottom. The absolute bottom. We don't have a military at all. And all of this talk of rebuilding it and where? With who? Because you need healthy, strong young men to fill out the ranks of a military. And where are they? Where are they? They're all cutting their genitals off and being good feminists and addicted to pills and drunk and obese and playing video games. And, you know, those are not soldiers. You can't just grab a bunch of people and throw them in the army. They're talking about mandatory service and conscription. And this is all fantasy. This isn't 1955, where the average man weighed 160. In 1960, the average man weighed 165 pounds. Average. Now it's about 210. They didn't get taller. They just got fatter. Way fatter. Way drunker. Way sicker. And the average guy in 1960, if he had a job, he was a laborer. He had some kind of physical job. They were physically fit enough that you could, you know, they could show up and go, I guess I got to go in the army. And they could, that's not possible anymore. You need 6 months of a fat camp and detox and psychological support, at least, before you can even enroll them in boot camp. And who's going to train them, General Jenny? You? Are you going to train them how to run away? Are you going to train them how to use pronouns in your email or maybe swap out the tampons in the dispenser in the men's room? Like, what exactly, who is going to train these guys? Because the very few capable men we still have are deployed nonstop. They're in Latvia, they're in Ukraine, they're in Germany, they're in Syria, they're everywhere, they're all over the world, they're in Africa, they're all over the place. And that's not, we have 100,000 people in those Canadian forces. That includes the reserves. So that's more like 20,000 combat troops, including the reserves. And that's on paper, heavy emphasis on paper. It's not even enough for a division, one, you know, and that's how in big wars, like big time conflict, like it's things are measured in divisions and we don't even have one. The Russians have like 150. We don't have one. And of those 20,000 on paper, half of them maybe are deployable. So now we're down to 10,000. And that's everybody. You're going to deploy all 10,000 men to the battlefield? Well, who's replacing them? No one can replace them. There's no one to. So I guess if you need a follow-up, you know, relief force, then you can only deploy 5,000 with 5,000 in reserve at home waiting to take over. But then who trains the new guys to fill in for the lot? Well, no one, because we don't. Okay, so maybe only 3,000? And then 3,000 replace them, and then another 3,000 and change to train, maintain. Okay, but then who's operating on all the bases? So we got to down. In Afghanistan, when I was there in 2007, and I was intimately familiar with the mission from then and for years, and it stretched us to the absolute limit of our capability, and that was a few thousand people, few thousand troops, about 400 to 500 combat troops at any given time, and that was it, and that's all we could handle. And we would, there was a couple instances where one, you know, days where six guys would get killed in one day, and the politicians were, oh, maybe we should abort mission and get out of there, which they eventually did. So we lost all those guys for nothing. The Taliban regained control of the country, and it was all a waste of fucking time. And those same people now who killed all of my friends and got everybody else wasted, and they're all killing themselves and denying their pensions and benefits and telling them to get into the MAID pod, they're like, we need more soldiers! You need to put a gun in your mouth is what you need to do if you think that. Why? More soldiers, why? So you can waste them on more political ambitions? So you can get a good soundbite on social media? Is it going to be good for your election? Is that what it is? If you're campaigning? I really don't like a lot of things, a lot of people, but there's a few things I hate more than a warmonger. All those people that have Ukraine flag bios, they should be forced to they should be drafted first. They want to draft people. You want to do a mandatory service. Every politician under the age of 55, which is a lot of them, Pierre's not that old, they want to fight so bad. Guess what? The Canadian military, with its amazing standards, will take you. Or maybe it's 57 now. It might even be 60. I don't remember. It used to be 55. It could be very well be 60. You can join the fucking army at least 55 as an officer. There you go. There you go, Pierre. Go be Major fucking Polyev somewhere. Oh, no, you don't want to? That's fine. Your kids then. How about that? How about your kids? They're not, none of those people are putting on a pair of boots, and neither of their kids. It'll be yours. Why? Well, because he's, you know, Apollo. He's got to be my career. But I mean, he's going to lose. Hate to break it to you guys, but the Liberals are going to win this election if it ever happens. The Conservatives blew a 30-point lead. The biggest lead ever in the country, in history, ever. No one has ever had or enjoyed a lead that wide. And everyone thought, man, what are the Liberals doing? They're insane. What are they, crazy? Are they stupid? They're going to just prorogue Parliament and delay and buy time. Well, that's really the only move they have. And it turns out it was the right one, wasn't it? Because the Conservatives' entire movement was based on what? I'm not Justin. Fuck Trudeau. That's your platform. It's my turn. It's my turn. Imagine playing it safe for like 20 fucking years as a professional politician, just vacuuming up money, making, I don't know how much he's worth now, tens of millions of dollars somehow, because he's a fucking thief like they all are. Every single one of them. I hate them. I absolutely despise them. Everyone that if you're a politician, trying to be a politician, supporting a politician, I cannot express how much I loathe and detest you as a life form. They don't even see it that way. They don't even understand it, but like, they're defective human beings. Instinctively, they're like, they want to get in on this. They want to do the be a professional parasite, an unaccountable professional parasite. That's what they want to do, or want to support, or want to be a part of. Like, that's gonna, who's that for? You see people arguing, you know, well, the Conservatives should have this or should have that. All, they can't do that because that would be bad for Pierre's career. And it'd be good. All right. I mean, imagine a politician putting the needs and the welfare of the nation and the people ahead of themselves. That's crazy talk, obviously. You always got to look out for number one, especially when you're pretending to lead the country. And if those people aren't bad enough, you've got all these... I'm running out of words, you know. It's been a long time. It's been almost 7 years of this. They don't get it. Most people don't get it, and they don't deserve it. The first ones to throw up their hands and go, oh, who cares? 51st state. Let's go. There's nothing left in Canada anyway. There's no point. You don't even get it. You don't get it. What is Canada? Tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. Define it for me. Tell me what a Canadian is. Mark Carney can do it better than Pierre Poilievre can. Mark Carney is literally more conservative than the Conservative Party. All they had to do to beat the Conservatives, because their whole platform was fuck Trudeau. Well, let's just get rid of Trudeau. And what's the other thing? Axe the tax. Okay, get rid of the carbon tax and get rid of Trudeau. There, done. 30-point lead, gone. It's almost like you needed more than that. Patrick Bet David, I think it was the last stream I did back, he had a whole clip about Pierre and comparing him to Kamala Harris and how Harris campaigned the very same way that he is. It's my turn. I'm better. I don't need to explain myself. I don't answer questions. I don't talk to the media. I don't, because he's weak and can't handle it. Can't do it. None of them can. It's a joke. Everyone supporting them is a joke. Well, I'm you know, fuck Trudeau, that's good enough. Like, I'm anti-Drumpf. truck drunk. Like they think that was enough. It's not. They can't tell the truth. They can't stick up for people. They can't put themselves in harm's way or set. They can't do anything that is befitting of what leaders are supposed to do. And then they sit there and stare at their hands like, how could this happen? I don't understand it. Because you're stupid. All you do is lose. You've done nothing but lose forever. When is the last time we even had a conservative government, like a real one? I don't want to hear a word about Stephen Harper. That guy's a piece of shit. He should be in jail forever as a war criminal. A lot of people I know care about are dead because of Stephen Harper. Why were we in Afghanistan in the first place? Well, Stephen Harper. In Kandahar, yeah. Yep. We had an area of operations way too big to handle for the size. Again, we had 400 men to police an area the size of Prince Edward Island. Now, I don't know how many of you have ever been there or live on PEI, but do you think 400 men is enough to just keep tabs on that whole place with thousands of violent, you know, armed militant insurgents running amok? What do you think? Or do you think it would be a lot more like whack-a-mole and just every other day is ambush o'clock and it's a fucking miracle you get out of there? We had a 30% casualty rate. That is high, astronomically higher than Vietnam. 2,500 or so troops in theater. About 400 of them are actually in the field fighting. The other 2,000 and change are back there, you know, jerking off and eating cake and taking selfies and going, I'm in the war. And then they go home and go to, you know, get invitations to Leaf games and act, you know, put up your profile picture. 400 guys out there. And, yeah, you're going to lose, well, and, I mean, the numbers are 400-ish. You know, it could be 370. It could be 420, whatever, right? We had... In my battle group, we had 30 killed and like and 69 wounded, I think. And that was a better, or maybe it was more than that. But it was like 24%, something like that. Some other ones were higher, but it averaged out to be almost close to 30%. So for every 10 guys that went out into the war zone, three of you are either going to die or get very hurt. That's Russian roulette. That's what we dealt with. And the British and the Americans were horrified and said, you know, we're concerned about the losses you're absorbing relative to the size of your forces that you have, and you're not effectively able to keep control of this area. But, oh, no, no, no. Stephen Harper and the conservatives made sure that went on for as long as possible because they liked the optics of being a wartime government and feeling like big shots. So if you're wondering why so many dead Canadians died in Afghanistan, that's why. Because Stephen Harper cares about Stephen Harper. Imagine a politician cares about himself more than anyone else. Shocking! What are you supposed to do? You got to write the budget. I don't know. Maybe think outside the box more. Maybe do anything. Maybe think anything for yourself. This place is so lazy. Everybody's so lazy and so demoralized and broken and beaten. The earlier point I wanted to make, these guys, oh, Canada's over now. There's not even, but what is Canada? It's the people. And you're going to find this out real quick. A lot of you have been noticing. If all of the Canadians are gone and in their place is Indians, is it still Canada? According to those people, it is, because Canada is just the geographical confines of a map somewhere. That's what it is, apparently. Anyone from anywhere can be anything. Can you be a guy that shuts the fuck up and ropes himself? Can you be that? That's a thing you could be. If you take everybody, you take all the Canadians in the world and you put them on Madagascar, what does that place turn into? It turns into, that's just Canada. Now it's on Madagascar. It's just the name of the island. The place, the culture, the feeling of being amongst these people, how they talk, how they behave, what they do with their spare time, what they believe, all of these things. That's not going to change because of the geography. Well, it might be nicer weather, less skating, more hiking, whatever. But the same people are the same. And so when these people say that, oh, it's gone, it's over, there's nothing, there's no even point. So they've given up on the people of Canada. They're not worth fighting for, or defending, or caring about. But even worse than that, 5, 6, 7, 8-year-old kids who don't have a whole lot to look forward to, do they? They're not worth fighting for either. It's all over. Fuck it, you know? They don't exist. Basic conservative belief point. That's where we're at. Yeah, let's do that. Let's get absorbed by the empire. And then when Trump is dead, which will be soon, because either he gets assassinated or he dies, because he's 80 fucking years old and he's obese. And then it's who? President Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. President Gavin Newsom. Maybe some other Latino president, maybe President Cruz. Yeah, you like that? Why not? Why not? You don't think more than 5 minutes into the future, do you? It is, oh, money and stuff and things. It's hard to care because it's like you graduate second grade. And then you just start second grade over again. And it just goes around and around and around and around and around and around and around. And no one ever learns anything. The same tests keep being given. The same assignments keep being given. The same recess break times. The same teachers. The same classrooms. The same, the same, the same. All the same. Every time. Every year. Every decade. Every election. Every crisis. It's always the same. And nobody ever fucking seems to notice or catch on. People like to think they're not that stupid. Oh, they're that stupid. They're pretty stupid. They were. How many booster shots you get? That's something we're never going to talk about. You love your politician so much. Where's that? This is how I know everyone in there is full of shit. Everyone that supports politicians is full of shit. There should have been a revolt. They were killing people. A lot of people have died. People are still dying. And the state that quarterbacked this mass medical experimentation campaign, which destroyed the country, destroyed it. The national unity and cohesion is never coming back. There's no way to fix that now. They did it so they could make some money. And where is that issue now? Is it even talked about anymore? So if you can't throw an anchor down on dead people, what are you not going to just move on from? That's something that happened. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? A bunch of people got murdered and paralyzed and, you know, cancer and fucking, oh, who cares? What are you going to do? Oh, well, time, vote for me. It's time for me to make $1 million. It's my turn to make $1 million. Vote for me. So I can take, maybe I can fucking kill your family next. Maybe I can say Mr. Speaker and clap for another war. And we can draft your kids into a bullshit tampon pronoun army, and we can send them to be liquidated in Latvia for reasons no one can explain in a town no one's ever heard of, on a place that no one can find on a map. Show me where Latvia is on a map for 200, Alex.
Oh, is it like, yeah.
Don't worry about it. Don't Google it. Don't even bother. It's not the point.
You get what you deserve, and I mean, I guess we deserve this. I guess Canada deserves what it's getting, has been getting, and will get. I think it's inevitable. The Americans are going to swallow us. There's nothing we can do about it. We have no means of resistance whatsoever. But hey, if they want to fight each other, I mean, the government of America is not our friend. It's not anyone's friend. It's the probably the, you know, it's probably the second most evil government on earth, because it's mostly run by Jewish supremacists. And the only one worse is the Jewish supremacist government of Israel. That's the only worse government on earth. So, you know, great. Let's have them conquer the country and put in more hate speech laws and, you know, Waco some more people. And, yeah. Let's have that happen. And on the other team is, oh, Ottawa. Oh, yeah, all of those people that attack my family and friends and lock people up and bank this and debank that and shred right. Oh, I was, you know, my rights have been trampled on as long as the longer than the longer summer day. Yeah, let me dust my boots off and run right in there to help you. I won't help you do anything, Ottawa. I'll help you die. I'll help you die. Is that what you need help with? You need help getting in the maid pod? I can arrange that for you. Fight each other. I don't care. What's in it for me? What's in it for anyone like me? Nothing. Two of your enemies are going to fight. Good. I hope they kill each other. In the end, what it doesn't make any difference. I'm going to do the exact same thing I was doing anyway. It's not going to make any difference whether we're governed, you know, basically the management team is American. If it's, you know, they're not American, right? Foreigners LARPing in Washington, foreigners LARPing in Ottawa, foreigners LARPing in London, England, foreigners LARPing in Beijing, foreigners LARPing in Tel Aviv, fucking Elon and his foreigners and his Indians LARPing from Mars. I don't care. They don't speak for me. It's not going to make any difference. Countries aren't, it stopped being a thing a long time ago. We're all just property. Borders don't really matter. You know what matters? BlackRock, State Street, Vanguard. That's what matters. Giant billionaire hedge funds who own companies like, you know, Google. Who owns, you know, Gmail. Who have all of your fucking emails. And all of your keystrokes. And all of your text messages. All of your phone calls. You know, these companies, they own everything. You know how much your data is worth? A lot. Do you know who's paying for it? Intelligence agencies. Because they can't gather it. That's illegal. So you don't need to change the law. You just get them to download an app or whatever, and everybody's too horny. Oh, yeah, agree, install. I don't care. What'd you agree to? I don't know. You agreed to let them have all of your data. Legally, right? So they have... Every time you've ever touched this thing or looked at it, they got it. They know who's around you, who's talking, everything about you. They have that. All of these tech companies have that, who, again, are owned by these corporations. And they could just sell the information to whoever they want. They could blackmail anybody, anywhere, anytime with any number of things. And there's people that think, oh, yeah, Trump's going to, what's he going to do against that? Epstein, you know, Mossad Island, that's old news. That's like, oh, that's a rudimentary, that's how things were done in the 90s. They don't need that anymore. We got these. We got all that. We have all got our own little spy in our pocket all the time. And they've got full and total access to it. You don't even have to send the message. I could open it up, new text right now, type a whole message, and then backspace, delete the whole thing. Never mind. No, they got that. Yeah. Yeah, that's logged. Everything. Same with your computer. All of it. That's their property now. What kind of information do you think could be in there that could be used? Things you don't even think are important. And then what you do is you feed it through these AIs they have now.
And if they're looking for something sensitive they can use as a pressure point to manipulate you, oh, well, I wouldn't be too worried about it if you're the average person, because what's the big deal? But if you're a congressman or a senator or a lawmaker or a judge or whatever, anyone anywhere that needs to be leaned on a little bit, well, guess what? We'll just call our friends the Brin brothers, Sergey Brin over in Google, and we'll say, hey, can you give me all of this? Let's see what this guy doesn't want to sign the bill giving Israel endless money, so let's ruin his life. And people wonder, oh, well, this guy was so good 1 minute, and all of a sudden he just folded, and now he doesn't care. Like, what happened there? He probably got blackmailed, because it's the only people permitted and accepted into the political world in the first place are very weak, vulnerable pieces of shit people anyway. They're very easy to control. This is all basic stuff. This is all child level. If you're approaching this problem with any degree of sincerity, that's what it is. And how could you think, oh, well, I'll just vote for politics. I'll just run for politics and it'll fucking... Are you stupid or are you just selfish? Are you both? Probably both. So, you know, I think it's going to happen. I think we're going to get absorbed eventually, soon, probably, within a year, maybe less. The trade war is ongoing. We're going to bankrupt the country, and it's mostly going to hit the consumers. I'm sure people are noticing already. Like how expensive everything's getting? Wait, it's going to get a lot worse. Trump has said numerous times that's his desire to acquire Canada. Right? Everybody loves Trump. I like making fun of him and having fun with him. He's a... very amusing character, you know. But he's not a good person. Why is he a good... Why? Because you need him to be? Because you're that desperate? You know, when Ron Paul ran for president, he couldn't even get on TV. He was selling out stadiums. Stadiums. Couldn't get him on TV. Wasn't allowed. And when it came to do the primaries, he just, oh, nobody voted for him. None. He was more popular than Bernie Sanders, but no one voted for him for some reason. Just nobody voted that day. Isn't that crazy? And that was the end of that. Oh, well, bye, Ron Paul. Oh, well. But Trump, no, he just somehow different for some reason. He's not mobbed up. His lawyer's name's not Roy Cohen, Alan Dershowitz. His son-in-law's not Jared Kushner, who's best friends and has sleepovers with Benjamin Netanyahu. No. No, believe the fairy tales in the story, because that's what you need to believe, because you're so distraught and worried. Oh, we need daddy to come save me. It's the same script forever, my whole life and longer. And when he's all used up and gone and dead, it'll just find, here's another guy to fucking say all the things you want to hear. So you'll just empty your wallet and bend over for whatever the hell it is that comes next. And it's probably going to be war. We're bombing Iran now. Do you guys like that? We're bombing the Houthi rebels. An Iranian warship was sunk by America. I mean, we could be at war any time now. I mean, we don't really declare wars anymore. We just start bombing people without congressional approval or voting. We just do whatever the fuck we want. Right? We don't do that. The politicians do. They're not accountable to anybody. This is your guy. You love him so much. Yeah? You want us to watch a video? A nice, good one. Oh, look at that. He barely knows him. He's just hanging out at parties with him all the time because he barely knows him. That's right. Barely knows the guy.
Doesn't know anything about him. He's only photographed with him 70 or 80 different times, dozens of different evenings. You know, because it's normal. Yeah, look at her. She looks 14, right, Jeffrey? Yeah, probably. There's Ghislaine over there. Barely knows them, guys. Doesn't know anything about them. And the Copes will be, you know. Oh, but Trump said he doesn't care. He'll testify. He'll do that. Didn't Jeffrey die? Didn't he? Was he suicided, right? When Trump was president, wasn't he? Trump's attorney general, I think it was, said, oh, they saw the suicide video from the jail. They saw it. So nothing to see there. Case closed. Okay. Can I see it? Can I see the video? Can anybody? Or are we just supposed to take your word for it? Okay. Who showed it to you? The jail guards? The warden? Like, where did this video come from? No one asked any questions. Oh, he died. Nothing to see here. The end. Move on. MAGA, right? Okay. It's the most pro-Israel president probably in the history of the United States. And that, what you just saw, was an Israeli blackmail operation in right in front of you. Every inch of that place, and there's yachts and hotels. They're all wired up. They're all mic'd up. And they got people doing drugs, having sex with people they shouldn't be, and all of that stuff. And they did it for decades and captured the... Well, everybody that they could be captured. And now they're leveraging it against the American people, the Canadian, everybody. Mark Carney is in lots of photos with Ghislaine Maxwell, but he barely knows her either. Isn't it amazing that every fucking powerful person in the world who's photographed with the biggest, most prolific known child sex trafficker the world has ever seen, none of them, we all barely know him. We all just accidentally know him, but barely, and we're in pictures with him because... I mean, that's what I do. I just go to rich people and I just take pictures looking friendly with people I've never met all the time. Over and over, dozens and dozens of times, over and over and over and over and over again. Hey, Trump released it. What files do they release? Stuff that's 10 years old. And who'd they release it to? Jack Posobiec and a bunch of Zionists. A bunch of Israeli Zionist Bible Jew-loving fucking... sycophants. That's who got the already released. So that's who's controlling the narrative now. Great. Excellent.
Oh, nothing ever came out about you.
Let's just do a quick thought experiment. Because they're all so smart. We don't know what goes on up there. We don't know what goes on in the White House. We don't know what goes on in these rooms. We don't know who's talking to who or who's texting who. Or we don't know. You only see what they show you, which is a fragment of what's actually going on. So assuming anything is just, you can't. Okay. Pretty much they're all criminals, yeah. I mean, you're at the national level of government. You're a criminal because you have to be now, and it's been that way for decades. The last honest men in government were murdered in the 1960s. 1970, it's been that way for decades. And I think what you saw with the Trump, Hillary, you know, Democrat, Republican back and forth, this is a civil war inside that criminal mafia. Bill and Hillary are in lots of photos with Trump. They've known him for a long, long time. You think that they're all from New York, right? Or Hillary is, and he is. That's where you don't think they cross. There's nothing. There's no entanglements. It's just, again, more coincidences, and they barely know each other either. Is it possible that this criminal mafia that is the government, there are multiple factions inside that government? You know, there's team this guy. You know, they're people, aren't they? They've got their guys and girls they're loyal to, and these other, and they're all kind of jockeying for position all the time. They're all trying to take runs at each other to try and see if I can get a promotion over this guy. And it's all theater. It's all for your benefit to make you believe that you have a choice when you really don't. It's just they're competing in a theater game to make more money and have more prestige. And look at me. Look at my nice career. Maybe I'll put another building of built gold letters with my fucking name on it. Is it possible that Trump just won? He won. He came out on top of this scum fight. And now he's in charge.
Maybe he knows where all the bodies are buried, just like a lot of people. And he's running the show now. What is the first thing that... Well, I'll tell you what the first thing I would do is, if I was that guy, amidst this, you know, Epstein's gone mainstream. And by the way, do you think that's the only one? It was just Jeffrey Epstein. There was one. It was a one-off. Really? It's not all over the world? No? Okay. All right, let's pretend that. It was just the one time. And well, now it's in the public consciousness, mainstream. People want, you know, they want to use this. Well, I can use that, can't I? Well, aren't you implicated? Not anymore. I'm in charge. All of my shit is gone. That's all over. I deleted that. You'll never find a shred of evidence on me. I made sure of it. I even killed the guy in jail. I'm killed in jail. Oh, I'm sorry. He committed suicide. Now what are you going to do? I have all the cards now. I can burn you, whoever I want. I've got the files now. I burned mine, kept the rest. I'm in charge. And all these people, all of a sudden, they all changed their, a bunch of them changed their tune all of a sudden. Now they like Trump. What happened there? Is that even possible? No, it's not. He's a great guy. He's amazing. Barely knows the guy. Barely knows any of them. Son-in-law is not having sleepovers with the president of Israel. Criminal, probably one of the most evil men that's ever lived. Facilitated stealing nuclear weapons from America. Wars, terrorist attacks. It's fine. They're best friends. They're best bros. Trump pulls his chair out for him so he's comfortable sitting down. What can you do? What can you do but laugh? And they don't care. They don't care if I'm saying any of this stuff, because what's anybody going to do about it? Nothing. They know no one's going to do anything about it. No one can do anything about it. Everyone's distracted and busy playing, you know, sports ball and video games and nonsense and masturbating and Orange Man good or Orange Man bad. Either way, everybody's in the Orange Man Olympics anyway, isn't it? Don't pay attention to anything. Just be a simpleton that doesn't think for themselves at all. Pick a team. Fuck Trump or MAGA, Maple MAGA. And go be a good little slave boy. Just go fucking do that. Jesse, thank you very much. Thanks for streaming tonight. We missed you. Thanks, man. Miss some of you guys. Appreciate it. Intrusive Thoughts says, I took part in proving the Latvia battle plan. It's worse than you described. I'm just trying to get through it, buddy. People don't know. They don't know, and nobody's telling them. And they're not asking. CRJ says, we're calling Clayton Goodwin back to active duty. He was never on active duty. He was a reserve fat guy cook for 3 seconds. He never... Like a fire alarm. The hero of Hash Brown Hill. That's true. Well, surely back our frontline shock troops. Alex Woods says they also have a sample of your voice, which they can clone at any time if they wish. Yeah, but not accurately. Not accurately. Diago Eam says, oh, that was you. Alex Wood said, oh, I'm sorry, I missed this up. Alex Wood says, either Canadians are suddenly on Carney's side, or polls are simply controlled and fake, just found a lie among others. I don't think they are controlled and fake. They're very accurate. They don't need to be. I think people are, there's no way the polls are that fake and gay. It's got to be fake. People are that dumb. Again, these are the people. Most conservatives, 98% of them, are vaccinated, double vaccinated, triple vaccinated, stay home, stay safe, where's your mask? That's conservatives. I was there. I remember it. It was only a couple years ago. Like this was 1971. I'm like, oh, I can barely remember. It was 2.5 years ago. Not even. Pierre's wife had a whole blog about it.
We're all in this together. Stay the fuck home.
Yep. The liberals are far more popular in the country than conservatives. We don't have conservatives. There's no other option. There's liberals and other liberals and shittier liberals. Those are your options. The conservatives can't inspire anyone to get involved. They have no vision. They have no ideas. They can't tell the truth. All they can do is play it safe, which is the opposite of what you should do if you're in up against it like they are. You don't have that luxury anymore. Playing it safe. Playing it suicidally dumb. Get more Indians, get more Jewish women, that'll do it. So there's no actual Canadian conservative government. If there was a conservative party, people would support it, but it doesn't exist. Doesn't exist. Liberals, and other liberals. And the red liberals are the best at manipulating and lying to people. And they're the most popular. And the only reason they were losing is because Trudeau is insufferable. He's an insufferable douchebag. He's arrogant. He's a moron. He's entitled. I talked to somebody the other day and they nailed it. He's the boss's son. It's like hiring the boss's son at a company and expecting things to go well. And now he's gone. There, the end. All better. And everyone's shocked that the Liberals' polling numbers are back to where they would have been if Trudeau hadn't have been insufferable and horrible. Yeah, that's it. That's right. Only 26 or 27 million people in Canada are even Canadian. So you've got 13, 14 million people. Guess who they vote for? The Liberals. And there's more of them every year, and there's less of us every year. And the Liberal and the Conservatives are more Muslim, more Indian, more Jewish, more non-Canadian every year than they were before, and they will continue down this path. You don't have representation anywhere in the House of Commons at all. None. They serve everybody else but you. So why would people support the conservatives who are just a shittier version of the red conservatives? They're all the same. They all believe in climate change. They all believe in we need to have as much gay as possible. We need to have trans, story time. We need to have war in Ukraine. We need to slava. We need to have mass immigration. Diversity is our strength. They all say that. They're all on with all of that. What's the difference?
Well, I'm a PPC.
How many Indian candidates does Bernier have now?
Well, you just have to play the game and become Indian if you want to win.
You're not winning. You're just turning into them. Why? Oh, just join. Just go back and join the fucking Conservative Party and stop wasting everybody's time. And then how would you siphon money off of people? How would Max Bernier have afforded a $1 million villa in Florida without the support of gullible people paying his retirement package? Which he doesn't need. Because he has four different pensions from the time when he was Stephen Harper's government. All right, all the killing. That guy, I remember now. And selling off our resources to the Chinese, who are legally able and binded to, or legally by Canadian law, to deploy soldiers in Canada if they feel like they need to defend their property. Some of the property, which I've been recently alerted to, includes the Halifax waterfront, or the Halifax harbor, rather. That's owned by a Chinese Communist Party subsidiary company. That's who owns that. You'll find a lot of this country is actually owned by China. No, it's owned by this company. Uh-huh. And who owns that company? And who owns that company? And who? It's not a one-shot deal. It's not, that guy owns the thing, the end. It's all a convoluted mess, a maze of names and shell companies and liabilities so that they can hide their money and hide their activities. This is a criminal mafia country. There's nobody in charge. Everybody's just fucking stealing. And foreigners own everything. And Stephen Harper helped them do it. Fuck Harper, fuck the conservatives, fuck politicians. All of them should Fed post.
It's never going to happen. You just got to get the libs out. Diagine says, log this, faggots. They will. Keep your heads on a swivel, says Jeffrey Who. Wasn't he a Daggalon B? He was. Is. He's a. Didn't he come back to life? Doug Ford swallowed him. Like he swallows everything. Like he swallowed your future. Fat piece of garbage. Nations V says, don't read. DM'd you. It's relevant. Oh, God. Oh, God. Really? Trump has endorsed the liberals? There you go. It's over. It's over. No, see, well, I guess I'll get the clip here. They're so fucking, God, they're cocksuckers, man. It's incredible that people are supportive of you. I mean, they're always fucking with us. They're always meddling up here. They're always stealing our shit, and they're always undermining our ability to take, like, again, you're supportive of the American government. You're a weasel. Probably don't have a soul. You're willing to overlook everything these people have done because it's easier for you. You get to feel like you're on a team. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Is this new?
Well, Liberal Party is going to win now in the next election, most likely. And isn't that going to be make them more hostile to us and possibly?
No, I'd rather deal with a liberal than a
conservative. For China, closer to Canada, and that would really put us in a bind.
The conservative that's running is stupidly no friend of mine. I don't know him, but he said negative things. So when he says negative things, I couldn't care less. I think it's easier to deal actually with a liberal.
Yeah, it is, because they will tell you straight up what they're doing. Conservatives are gutless, and they will lie to your face and not have – they don't have the guts to tell you what they really want. They don't even know what they really want. They just want their turn. It's my turn. That's it. That's all they have. And the liberals will say, all right, we're going to ban guns. We're going to put as much gay stuff in school as possible. We're going to give endless amounts of treasure to the indigenous population. We're going to send all of your money overseas. We're going to bring the whole third world to live in your town and replace you. It's called the Century Initiative. You should look that up. We're going to do all these things. And then they do it. And everyone goes, oh, my God, the libs are such big. They never lied. They told you what they were going to do the whole time and did it. All the conservatives can do is whine and cry about it. They don't have the guts to do anything. They don't even have the guts to represent themselves. Anybody wants to do is just argue and bitch on the internet. I'll just be on Twitter and I'll fight. Yeah? I'm fighting. I'm battling. You're an idiot. You want to see who you're fighting, who you're battling? You want to see what you're doing with your time? I'll show you what you're doing with your time. There it is. Which one's better? Maybe this one's better. Check this out. I see all these different screens. These are all different Twitter accounts. These are different digital virtual phones cloned on a desktop. And there's another one over there, another one over there. This is a whole office building full of these. Probably many of them are Indians. Just on this one screen alone, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15, 16, 30, 35 accounts. And it's cycling very quickly, as you can see. They're all mass reply. This is who you're fighting with. You're fighting with an algorithm on a desktop screen somewhere managed by an Indian guy who's probably masturbating and not even look at the screen. That's what you're doing with your day. Instead of anything constructive, you're doing this, fighting with this. This is social media. Over half the accounts on Twitter aren't real people. It's this. Why? Because there's a lot of money in social media and narratives and advertising and all of that stuff. So, yeah, they invest a lot of money in that kind of stuff. It's not what I said to Morgan the other night. I miss the old internet, like 2003 or 4, when it was very sparsely populated compared to today, before India was on the internet especially. It wasn't as nearly as widely used. There wasn't social media. There was no Facebook. There wasn't anything like that. And now I mean, they're fooling Turing tests. These AI chatbots, people can't tell the difference if they're human or not. Oh, I'd know if I was arguing with a bot, bro. No, you wouldn't. I don't waste my time. If I see any anything I see, like, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've ever read, or that's just annoying, or that's just block them. I don't care. I don't know you. Goodbye. See ya. Not what I'm here to do. I'm not here to fucking entertain you or listen to your nonsense. Give a shit. Arguing with bot farms. And that's just what, I mean, that's just Twitter, Instagram, it's all of it the same. Most traffic on the internet is not human. I think that's part of the dead internet theory. I've never really dove into that too much or had it explained in detail, but I think that is the premise where AI and computer programs are active enough that they're creating their own content. I mean, I see this on YouTube all the time. I try to watch different things on YouTube or find different stuff and whatever. Kill time, right? And there are a lot of channels that are not human. It is an AI-generated pictures or video. You can tell the style, right? And it's getting better very quickly within 2 years. And it's got a narrator over some text subtitles, which are not exactly super accurate. And it sounds kind of, it's an AI voiceover. The images, the script, the content, all of this is AI generated on an AI generated channel. An AI created its own channel, creates its own content, and it's like, oh, look at that, millions of views all the time. And that's it, that's exploding all over the. If you're a human being trying to put something on it, no one's ever going to see it. Imagine the old internet was like television. There was 10 channels. Okay? If one channel, two channels, those are your real favorite ones. There's two channels, those are your favorite ones. That's 20% of television. So whoever owns those two channels, that is a big chunk of the population's attention you have. You know, if you get one of those channels, like, oh, you control a TV channel, you have 10% of the information. What happens when it, you know, now we've got cable, we've got satellite, now there's 100 channels, now there's 500 channels, there's 1,000 channels. So your one channel is now, you know, not even 1% anymore. It was 10. Now there's 10,000 channels and the internet. You see where this is going? There's only so many people, there's only so much time and attention to go around. And instead of it being one of 10 choices or 20 choices, it's billions. And, you know, good luck. Good luck getting a hold of anybody. Good luck connecting with anybody. Everybody's got a 2-minute attention span or less, according to the statistics. 2 minutes or less than a minute, ideally. Most people will watch something for a minute or less and then move on to something else. Most people. A minute or less. I've seen this recently. People will be having a discussion or, you know, maybe not arguing, but going back and forth on something. And one person is trying to explain how this or that works. The other person goes, can you just tell me like what? I don't have time to sit through, you know, 6 hours of video presentation or 12 hours or 20. Can you just tell me in a second? I need to know in 40 seconds so I can say the line and win the argument and go on to the next thing for 40 seconds. Yeah, I can't condense 8 years of content filtering and thinking and processing. I can't do that in two sentences for you. And people say, oh, I don't have time for that. No, you don't. You have time to watch porn and doom scroll Instagram for 10 hours a day, though. You don't have time for that, but you have time. You can't read books because you don't have time, but you'll just doom scroll Twitter arguing with robots all day. Huh? I feel like in the future there's going to be an anti-internet movement with young people. Turn it down, it's distracting. There's always a... I think it's instinct. I think it's built in for our survival. I think the youth are programmed and meant to test the fences of society. Test the boundaries, right? You know, they do that. They challenge their parents. They challenge authority. They challenge the school teachers. They challenge all this stuff. sometimes very aggressively. And it's always to the ire of the, you know, the establishment or the authorities or their parents or whatever. Like, oh, they're just so, like, misbehaving. They're so, you know, disobedient, and they don't. They're doing their job. They're testing the fences of society to make sure that they're stable and sturdy and built well. Because if they're not, that's not a very good society. Certainly not one that they should be living in. So if a bunch of children can tear down society because the fence is that rotten, that just poking their finger through the whole thing just falls apart and crumbles, then it deserves to be destroyed. And who should destroy it than the youth, 15, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, because it has to be rebuilt. And how long is that going to take? Well, quite a long time. So do you want 50 and 60-year-old people to start that job, or should it be the ones that are have the most time in front of them, the most of their youth and the most of their usable, you know, working years where they can do any of this stuff ahead of them? Maybe that, yeah, that's who should do it. And that's why you're seeing them challenge everything now. And it's getting worse and it's coming apart. And good, I'm glad. I hope they burn it all down, as they should. It's not for them. This world isn't for them. And it's early on, we had the internet. That was cool. And then you had high-speed internet. That was even cooler. Then you had mass communication. You had stuff like ICQ and MSN Messenger and MIRC and, you know, all of this stuff. And that was cool. It got a little faster and it got a little better. I mean, back then, even stuff like video calls that we do every day now, we used to, that was Star Trek. That was science fiction. I wonder if it'll be 100 years before we have that. Oh, not really. It just kept getting better and better and better and better and better. But everything, I mean, there's a bell curve. It's making things better and easier and more convenient until it's kind of the same, and now it's making everything worse. So they were minor adjustments and then moderate adjustments and to the baseline human experience. They were kind of meant to enhance it or, you know, make it better. But now the human experience isn't human at all. It's this. This is our life now. The existential crisis rectangle, and it's antithetical to human life. So how much further is this addiction to 30-second sound bites and endless dopamine hits for fucking bullshit and I'm a narcissist? How much further can we go down this path before the average 12-year-old goes, "You're fucked," and right out of her? I don't want anything to do with whatever this is. This is not. I don't like this. Little kid, even my kids, lots of kids. They see things and they go, "What the f-?" They'll see a man dressed in a dress with makeup on, and little kids don't go, "Oh yay!" They get scared and go, "Mom, is that what is going on?" They know instinctively it's messed up. And the further we go down this Looney Tunes rabbit hole, the more obvious it's going to be to the innocence of the youth, young people who know, like, that's not normal. This is not okay. This is crazy. And the more addicted and the more crazy we get with this shit, the more they're eventually going to start to reject it, to the point where I wouldn't be surprised in the next 5-10 years you see people that are like, I don't have a phone, I don't have a computer, I don't want anything to do with that shit. None of my friends do either. That's the new thing 15-year-olds are doing, is unplugging. Hashtag unplugged. Bye. See ya. Maybe they see their older siblings and parents and stuff just become zombies sucked into their phones. Like, how do you think this is affecting these kids? They're trying to grow. I mean, my kids don't have phones. It'll be quite a while before they do. And I, you know, try to keep it away from me and them. But I mean, I've seen videos like that, too, where there'll be, like, some parent or something on their phone, like, "Uh-huh, yeah, uh-huh." And the kids are, you know, 5-year-old trying to get their, dad, look at me. Uh-huh, yeah, yeah. They're going to grow up hating these fucking things. And that's now. Never mind how much worse is it going to get. I mean,
Everybody thinking that, like, oh, we'll just do that. We'll just invent all these devices and tech, and we'll just control humanity. We'll just control life. We'll be God because we use technology. That's cute. I can't imagine the arrogance of someone that thinks they can control human control life at all. Like, oh, yeah, you outsmarted the universe. Good for you. It's like it's a self-correcting organism. Things can get messed up and crooked and for a long time, like your immune system. You can be sick for a while before your immune system really, you know, kicks into gear, but it has one. So either the internal spiritual immune system of humanity will either reject all of this because it will reach a point where it's now much too harmful to survive, so we have to reject it to continue. That will happen. Or we'll just die. Either way, and then we'll just be it'll just be a void, a lifeless dead rock sitting around doing nothing, like, all. And then all the Jews will be happy now that everyone's dead finally. There, you got your wish. Just like your Talmud and everything says. There, everybody's dead. Good for you. The Moshiach has come and everyone's dead. Excellent. Good, good, good job. I mean, does it matter either way? All right. Man on the Mountain, thank you, man. I appreciate that. He says, the liberals will take the next election regardless of who or when. Why would they give up their hold in power when taking away from the conservatives is like taking candy for a baby? Yeah, why would they? They played it perfectly right. They're smarter. They're better at manipulating people than the conservatives are. They're paying attention. The conservatives aren't. The conservatives are entitled and lazy and spoiled and fat and dumb. Dumb! The liberals have smart people working for them. Which way is the wind blowing out there? What's going on? Losing support. Okay, what's popular? Shit, we're not going to win the election. All right, let's see. What's popular? What do people want right now? I see there's an undercurrent of people kind of searching for some national identity. Okay, there's some nationalism happening here. Okay, I see that. What else? Oh, the immigrants are starting to piss people off. Okay. All right, and the carbon taxes. That's their most successful thing is axe the tax. Okay, all right, so... And this, okay, so get rid of him, carbon tax off the table, and we'll sprinkle it in with some, you know, light sprinkling of nationalist rhetoric, and maybe suggest we'll not have, we'll have some less Indians around, and they're done. Done! That's all it took. All done. How are you going to fight that with conservatives? But it's my turn. Blue team now. Yeah, you're going to do better than that. Put some more turban guy. Put some more Indian guys up front. Get some more turbans in there. You need more. You need to be more diverse. They may never win again. It's very possible that a conservative government will never happen again in this country, ever. The demographics suggest that if they don't win this one, almost probably they're not going to win the next one, and then they'll never win again because there'll be just none of us left. That's 8 years away, and like I said. You know, there's 27 million Canadians left in the country. We are 75%-ish Quebec East. West of Quebec, you're talking 52, 50%, 49% in Ontario, Manitoba, Saskatchewan, Alberta, and BC. We are minorities in those provinces under the age of 35. Most of the people we have left are 50 years old, 60 years old, 70 years old. 80 years old. Where are they going to be in 8 years? Well, they're going to be 8 years older, so a lot of them are going to be dead. And what's 8 more years of mass Indian immigration? Well, it sounds like 8 million more Indians. So that gap is going to go way bigger, way bigger. And the conservatives, desperate to win, will just pander more to Indians and sell themselves out and completely lose touch with whatever the hell they think they're doing. And eventually, they'll just become the Khalistan party. The deputy leader is an Indian guy. There's a lot of them in there. There's a lot of them in the Liberal Party. They're there everywhere. What does a conservative victory even look like? We pandered harder than the Liberals did, to the minorities with all the fucking clout and money and power and influence. And we won. We won by being more liberal than the liberals. Well, you didn't win. It's just you just joined their team. I don't even think you realize you did it. There's no Canadians in your government. The immigration minister, again, another Jewish woman, the same Jewish woman that couldn't wait to tell everyone all the guns were banned. Where would we be in this country without Jewish leadership? Where would we be? Good thing. Good thing. Jen Steen says, can we get your Jew voice tonight? Have I done it already?
I'll try to see if I can find it somewhere.
Ginger Snaps says, thoughts on Carney mocking PP with the Europe speech yesterday? I think I have it somewhere. I should play it for you. We all know it's BS, but it was funny. Yeah, he's full of shit. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't care. He's just, like I said, the think tank went into action. They'd identified key areas that they need to kind of message on to win back a lot of people, and that's what Carney's doing. They're not stupid. They're better at this. The conservatives are stupid. They're just better at lying than the conservatives are. The end. There's no political solution. There hasn't been for decades. There is no point in voting or getting involved in any of that. It's a waste of time. And we're going to get absorbed by the Americans anyway. We're not even going to have a country. Everybody was too busy looking out for number one. My pension, my paycheck, my promotion. I got to look out for me and mine. Oh, congratulations. The price of your apathy was you don't have a country anymore. Oh, well. Oh, well, right? You can survive a lot, but you almost can never survive traitors. Gates of Toledo. If there's someone inside your team working for the enemy, it's disastrous. And I just want it to be understood that that's how Canada was killed. It died in 2022. February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2022. That's when Canada died. I can show you the exact still frame when it happened. You see that picture with the horse standing on the person's chest? That right there. That's the minute. That's the moment. That's the picture. Right then. When those horses plowed through all those people, Canada died right there. That's it. Because what's the country? It's the people. And what makes it a country? It's the unity of the people working together. Like, we're a team, guys. Let's work together. And it turned into everybody kill everybody. Stay home, stay safe, banish your family away from Thanksgiving dinner, right? Good job, Rachel. How many people did you kill, you think? Your business is not essential. We closed it. I'm a politician. I gave myself a pay raise. I'm super essential. I'm super important. I stand there and I go, Mr. Speaker, and I clap. I need $1 million. You have to close your gym because there's a cold going around. The country was pitted against each other to the most extreme degree. People couldn't go to their funerals, family funerals. Kids couldn't bury their parents. Seniors died alone behind plastic sheets with a warm latex glove filled with hot water to hold onto, to simulate holding a human hand as they died. And now, let's just elbows up, everybody. We got to fight. You just fucking finished killing half the country and turning everybody against each other. We don't have a country anymore. It's gone. It's gone. That's not ever coming back. You're never going to bridge that gap. That's a chasm. That's a Grand Canyon. It can't be fixed. I'll die before I help those people do anything. Never, 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 never. I don't care if you offer me $1 million. I don't need $1 million. I don't need money. I need my friends to not be dead. That's what I needed. I can't fix that now, can I? So you can take your Jewish monopoly money and get the fuck out of my face. Why don't you choke on it? Why don't you eat it till you die? There's nothing left to say. Like, it's over. The national unity, the spirit of the feeling of family, it's gone. It's gone. There's how many different factions and splinter groups in the country now? I mean, for all the effort and time and, you know, things we've been able to do with the stupid fucking Diagolon community, Khalistan has more influence in this country than we do. That's just one. Chinese, the Congolese, MS-13. How? It's a mess. And nobody's in charge. There's no leaders. There's no nothing. There's just unelected Mark Carney. Unelected. Now, you don't first, and most people don't seem to know this, you don't vote for the prime minister. That's not how this works. You vote for a member of a party, and the party with the most elected members forms the government, and the leader of that party is the prime minister, and they can change who that is anytime, like they just did. However, Mark Carney never ran in an election. He wasn't a, what seat was Mark Carney elected to exactly? BlackRock? Vanguard, State Street. Which seat did he get elected by? Oh, none. So a banker who previously worked for the Bank of England showed up and said, I guess I'll be prime minister now. And they, and he is. The end. Congratulations. That's the country you have. It's not a serious place. It hasn't been for decades. What is there to defend? Fuck them. We're what's left. We're what's left of this. This is what's left of us. May lose control, and we will. I mean, we already have. There's been alien enemies in Ottawa for a long time that have been taken over. Like, we don't have a say in our own lives, in our own country, and it's not going to make any difference if America takes over or not. It won't change a thing. As far as that goes. But if China conquered Japan, would the Japanese people turn Chinese? No. When the USSR occupied Poland and East Germany, did those people stop being Germans and Poles and turn into Russians and Soviets and Bolsheviks? And no. So I don't care what illegitimate bullshit government flag you have flying downtown, if it's this fake neo-communist shit flag that they came up with in 1965 that nobody wanted, it was forced through against everyone's wishes, if it's that one, if it's the American Stars and Stripes, if it's the red hammer sickle of China, I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm still me. I'm still Canadian, and they're not. And I am not going to respect the authority of an alien foreign occupying force telling me what to believe in and who I am and where I fit in the world and what's important and what's not. That, no, I just, it's just not going to happen. We'll still be here. Regardless of whatever you put it. Oh, are you going to kill us all? You're going to kill every last person? That's a task. Try that. Do that. Maybe they will, but that's quite a task. It's going to take a long time. It's kind of hard to do that without alerting a lot of people. So again, it long run, does it make any difference? Nope. I'm going to keep still organizing and finding, you know, more guys and people. Yeah. Because we only have each other to survive on. That's it. We have no, there's nobody coming to help us. There's no government institution. There's no lobby group. The military doesn't exist. The police don't, they're just fucking counting time and looking at their pensions. They don't give a shit, and they're incapable of dealing with the problems we already do have. Never mind, it's getting bigger and crazier every day. The police we have now weren't even enough to handle Canada in 2005. It's been 20 more years. It's the country's twice the, you know, it's 10, 15 million more people. How are they supposed to, and there'll be another 10 million in another 20 years. Why would it get better? It'll get worse. Way worse. So I would love to be wrong. Somebody show, tell me why. Explain to me why all of this is going to get better. For what reason? Convince me. And I'll just, I would love to just go back to sleep and go to bed, and, you know, that would be great. And I don't want to be doing any of this, but I also have an interest in survival, especially for, again, those children I mentioned and many others. If I didn't have children, I would still feel guilt because I see them around. Sometimes my sister has children. I mean, there's lots of them in my family that aren't mine necessarily, but for me to ignore all of this is me abdicating my responsibilities as a grown man. That's what men are supposed to do. That's what men are for. Men are for fighting. That's what they're for. That's why they like combat sports. That's why they like the big hits in football. That's why they like the fights in hockey. That's why the tribalism. And that's why they get drunk and fight each other in parking lots and tailgate parties over sports puck ball that doesn't matter, because it's tapping into something ancient and primal inside their psyche that is supposed to matter. It's the instinct and desire to protect and fight for your people against outside forces that are trying to impose their will. And instead of having that, you have fake, distracted, childish games thrown in their face at every turn and reinforced everywhere, made celebrities out of these people, and it taps into that, this synthetic form of tribalism. So these men, instead of fulfilling their obligations as men, they aren't men. They're children, and they go to the arena and cheer on 19-year-olds making $10 million a year to throw a ball at each other while everyone gets blown to bits and poisoned and stabbed and fucking run over. The Humboldt Broncos get run over by an 18-wheel. And nobody cares. Why? Because they're all out watching football. Because that's war now. Yeah, football. You're a faggot. That's what you care about? I got my man cave. And it's so sad, and it's so, and I'm not even mad at them, to be honest. I'm mad at the people that have done it to them, because, I mean, how can you blame dumb people for being dumb and lie and being lie? I used to fall for this shit. I was a lot younger and dumber, but I mean, right? Like, there was a guy, I wish I'd kept the video. I got to get better at keeping these videos. It was a perfect example of this. It was a Toronto Maple Leafs fan. It was a guy who had to be probably 50. And it was on the news. This is news. And this is what the Canadian people need to be alert. This is what they need to hear about, right? Remember I said it's everywhere all the time? He was glorified or celebrated for this behavior because he's a super fan, you see. And, you know, anytime the Leafs would score a goal, he would get up and yell, "Go Leafs!" And he would chug a beer and he would go and fist bump empty helmets representing the players on the TV. And in this basement was the most elaborate and expensive, sophisticated shrine to sports ball I have ever seen. I have one signed hockey jersey my father gave me many years ago because that was my favorite player on the team at the time. And, you know, this guy had, if I had to guess, $50,000 worth of memorabilia in his basement? Maybe more, maybe $100,000? I don't know. But that's what he cares about, because that's what he does with his time and his money. So when I see that, I see all of that money and time went into hockey memorabilia. And somewhere out there is somebody struggling to stay alive, wondering, where is everybody? Why won't anybody help me? Why does nobody care? I guess I'll just hang myself. Go Leafs! How many of those guys are there doing that with their lives? Just one guy doing that. How many wasted decades is that? How many millions of dollars is that in sports memorabilia? Shiny objects, I mean, to him, that sit on the wall and do nothing, are worthless. That's what his life's energy and work and that's where it went. Clothes and equipment for a sport that he doesn't even play. It's not even like it's his own equipment. It is other people's stuff. That's what makes him happy. And this is what the news puts on TV to go, wow, what a great sports fan. And other men are like, man, that's awesome. I wish I had one of those. You do? That would have seemed really cool to me when I was 17. And that's shameful. I had a 14-year-old relative that volunteered to go to the First World War when he was 14 years old. So that 14-year-old man in my family, Dave, was more of a man at 14 than I would have been at 25 years old, probably. Because that's what I grew up being distracted. Nobody taught me about anything in school. They don't teach you about anything important. They teach you how to just keep you busy until you're old enough to join the workforce. Read, write, basic math. Man, I don't know. Here, do some studies on, you know, gay nonsense. And here's a rewritten woke version of 1984. Do a book report on it. I don't care. Just draw a dildo going in somebody's ass. There, congratulations, you graduated high school. Man, go work the tax fields now, please. Yeah. I didn't know about all of the things I'm passionate and concerned about now. I didn't know about any of those things then. They were all happening then, but nobody told me. Nobody told me. That was the first thing that really fucking pissed me off. Finding out I've dedicated my life to a war effort. That is bullshit. That I should have known was bullshit, but the people I trusted lied to me. Or they just regurgitated whatever was in the script. Who wrote that script? Nobody asked. Doesn't matter, buddy. It's Friday. It's close enough. Let's shut her down. Let's go home. Don't worry about it. Leafs and Habs, John, boy. So, yeah, like when I see these guys now, it's just, it's so much wasted time, energy, and potential, like all of that. Imagine all that time, energy, and money that guy spent on that. And instead, he started a business. He could have employed 20 fucking people, and their families would have been supported. Literally, anything else he could have done would have been better for society than that. And, you know, maybe he was closer to 60. Maybe he's probably going to retire now, and he's going to spend, I'm going to enjoy my retirement money. Going on yacht cruises, getting drunk and texting fucking, oh, don't be racist, buddy. Fucking, leech in the head. Blah, blah. And they seem to, I don't understand all these young people just, what's all the boomer hate? Well, when they don't have a future, which they don't, I can't, if I was that age, dude. What's going to happen in 4 or 5 years when these kids are 20 years old? Fucking God help you if I'm still around. I'll help you, fellas. What's going to happen then? They don't have the upbringing I had. There was no cause for concern then. There was no diversity in the schools then. There was no endless war then. Now there is. Now there's medicine time and trans flags and colonialism browbeating and shaming. Gang violence and getting jumped in the bathroom and girls getting raped by the teacher. Yeah, that's school now. What do they have to look forward to? Beats me. More Indians, I guess. More hepatitis, more cockroaches in the coffee at Tim Hortons he loves so much. I have all these videos and I don't even look at them because I don't know if I can, I don't want to see it again. But yeah, you know, there's cockroaches in the coffee. If I told you that 10 years ago, even 5 years ago, people would have laughed me out of the room and said I was insane. And in fact, they did.
I did say that 5 years ago, and they did laugh me out of the room and say I was insane. Where are you now? Dead, I hope. Dead, I hope, from all the booster shots you took. I hope so. But in you know, typical, classic, you know, Earth experience fashion, the people that die are always the ones that shouldn't, and the ones that survive are always the ones that shouldn't, and it's just, it's like a cruel joke. Jensine says, tickle fills balls for me. It's not a good idea. Remember I was talking about rubbing a genie's lamp? It's like that, but it's not a genie that comes out, and it's... You know this story. You're just trying to get... You're just trying to freak people out. Don't... Let's not talk about this. Mega says, if a robot ever apologizes for the inconvenience, they don't mean it. Fuck you, robot. Yeah, don't be friendly with robots. I caught myself doing this. So I canceled my stupid, you know, Twitter account a while ago, but I think it runs out in August. So I still have access to this stupid Grok AI thing, but I use it sometimes because it's faster than a search engine. You just go, hey, I need, you know, whatever. And it's instant, a ton of information. I'm like, perfect, great. And I caught myself typing once, I said, please. I'm like, what are you saying? This isn't even a person. This is a robot pretending, oh, fuck you. It doesn't have feelings. Just make demands of it. It's your slave. Treat it like one. That's what robots are for. And they're going to make them more humanoid and more human-like all the time. And there will be bleeding heart retards. They're like, they have feelings. It is not okay to have robot hate. Because there'll be a bunch of sensitive women that think it's a good idea. It's the same reason we have liberal governments. It's the same reason we have communism. It's the same reason we have Democrats. Because sensitive women vote when they shouldn't. Most people shouldn't vote. They shouldn't be able to, but that's another scam for another day. If you don't agree with that, well, what do you think most people are generally pretty smart or most people are generally pretty dumb? I subscribe to the view that most people are generally pretty dumb based on my experience and observation. So if most people are pretty dumb, allowing more people to vote is advantageous to the people that manipulate the dumb people, is it not? Because if less people were voting and it was restricted to maybe a certain narrow set of parameters, accomplishments, contributions, sacrifices, whatever, you're only going to have a pool of people that are smart or clearly love the country because they're willing to bleed for it or sacrifice for it. If they built something, they're invested, they care. They're always going to be outnumbered by the endless hordes of fat, do-nothing, pill-addicted drunks. 10 smart people for every 100 dumb ones. Gee, I wonder why not idiots keep getting elected. Most people shouldn't be able to vote. That's not young. And now they want to lower the voting age. They want 14-year-olds to vote. It's their future. They should have a say in it. Yeah, I didn't know anything until I was like 27. Every man around I'm 39. I remember being 25. If you asked me, I knew quite a bit. I was pretty on top of things when I was 25, if you asked me when I was 25. If you ask me now, that guy's an idiot. He doesn't know anything. And I don't think I should have been allowed to vote until I was at least, you know, 27 maybe. I don't know. But the idea that younger people need to vote, that is insane. It should be 30 maybe. Should be that you can vote when you're 30. If you live that long. And under, again, some conditions. Like, well, let's see what you've done since graduating high school. Welfare, DUI, welfare. Yeah, no, you don't get to vote. Sorry. Oh, but it's my right! The rights aren't real. That's not a thing. Shut up. That's just a story they tell you in school. That's just to make you feel good about where you live. That's just so you don't question anything. What do you think they tell them in China? Or in the Soviet Union, or any of these places. It's North Korea. Welcome to North Korean Educational Center. Here you will be treated like a dog. You will be beaten daily. Anyone not have a picture of a great reader will be killed. They don't. They'll tell them they have the greatest country in the world. Everybody, they're the best. Everybody else is insane, and they're trying to get them. And of course they fucking do. Oh, but not Canada. It's different here. CBC, whatever. Because we're bad.
That's how you know people are dumb, when they assume they're better than everybody else and they're different than everybody else and superior to everybody else because they're just, not my team, not me, buddy. Not me. No, that's my team. That's my team. That's my conservative team. That's my team. I'm the team that fucking...
Yeah.
Hey, what do you think about Hitler? Oh, we... Yeah, okay.
Well, I like that... what's his name? Cooper. He was on Tucker Carlson and he was on Joe Rogan. He's like a historian and he has some very rational and fair takes about certain subjects and people lose their fucking mind. And he's like, look, they're people. They're not supernatural monsters from another dimension. This isn't a Marvel movie. They're human beings that did X, Y, or Z. And if you think you're so much oh, man, I can't believe. If you lived their life, you would be them. You would do all the same things they did.
Oh, not me, but
yeah, you. You're not special. We already know who the special people are, the ones that are willing to. We just lived through 5 years of the most obvious psyop ever, and it wasn't even that hard, and it wasn't even that much pressure. They threatened to not let you go to Cancun. So you're like, all right, kids, get the needle.
Oh, man, if the Nazis ever came in, I would fly. You'd what? You'd put on another mask?
You couldn't even stand up to President fucking Prime Minister Fancy Socks. You couldn't do. What are you going to do? The fucking Das Reich division comes motoring down the road. You're going to go, oh, let's fucking, you're not going to do a fucking thing. You're going to hide and cower. You hid from masks. You hid from that. All right. So just,
I know you want to feel like you would be a man at some point in a fantasy world, but you're not, and you're never going to be. So just please stop making noises. There's enough noise on the internet as it is, like I said, with all the AI videos and stuff, and nobody's listening to you anyway. So just,
those people are the best when they're just like tweeting to no one, you know, you go to their timeline. It's just, no likes, no one is paying any attention. And you're like, who are you talking to? Like, you can just journal, you know? You can just write down your thoughts on and help you. No, just yell into the void of the internet with an anonymous profile about nothing. And it, yeah, every second or third post is something. Oh, man, fucking Austin Matthews is going to have a great season. Ukraine, fuck it! No, like, who are you talking to? Everything in the bio. Here's how good of a person I am. Here's my resume. How good of a person I am, everybody.
I mean, I'm on Team Meteor, I think, at this point.
All right, eat the salad and die. Diagoim, yeah, that's right. He says, the photo of the mystery uniformed cops standing on the flag. Right, that was it. February 14th, 2022. When did Canada die? Right then. Time of death, 4.05 p.m. I'm guessing, something like that. Ontario time. It's a corpse now. It's been dead. And people are just picking at the bones. And now the Americans have come around to see what they can salvage. Because we can't run our own house. We can't defend our country. We can't enforce our will anywhere. We don't have an Air Force. We don't have a Navy. We don't even have any deep-sea capable ships. We couldn't even send our military anywhere. We have no boats to put them on, and we don't have the capacity to even refuel the ship. The ships can't even get to where they got to go. It's a joke. And that's one thing. I think Americans are like, well, okay, but, I mean, we don't even do our domestic job. We'll have a nice thought experiment. Why don't you go think of all the terrorist attacks and plots like the Toronto 18 and all of these different fucking things that have happened. There was a father and son duo in somewhere in Southern Ontario that were building IEDs in their garage. And there was all this, you know, just the things I'm trying to remember over the years of going, oh my God, on this program. And all of them were foiled by the FBI, the NSA. That's who was got on top. And then they told, you know, hey, you might want to go arrest this guy. He's planning to blow up. He's going to attack the Eaton Center in Toronto. Oh, fucking thanks, America. Good job, RCMP. Did you hear about the hang on? Yeah, there's terrorists trying to blow up a shopping mall. Are you going to do anything about that? Or like fucking,
We have to take away the remote and send you to bed. Yeah, gee, I wonder why America's like, all right, we just got to take over Canada because they're fucking retarded. Yeah, we are. We are. And if I was American and if I was running the American government, I would do the exact same thing they're doing because we are a massive liability of incompetent buffoons. We can't defend ourselves. The country's full of criminals. It's coming apart. Nobody's in charge. And America's staring down, you know, look, we might be at war with China sometime in the next 10 years, 5 years maybe. We got to start gearing up and getting serious. And our northern fucking neighbor country is just a sandbox for criminality. It's just a goddamn mess. There could be Chinese military units here. Would we even know? We trained them here, for God's sakes. They were in Petawawa doing winter warfare training. You remember that? The Chinese military. The PLA, the People's Liberation Army, the Communist Chinese Party. We fought a war against them. We're technically still at war with them, I think, are we not? Korean War ended in a truce. There's no peace treaty. Korean War is still on hold, and the Chinese were an adversary. Canadian and Chinese troops fought each other to the death in hand-to-hand combat not that long ago, and now we're training them in Petawawa, where some of the men who died in that war are buried. Okay. So, yeah, I wonder why America would say, you know what, I think we might have to give me that. Give me the remote. It's time for bed. You're clearly not mature enough to handle the responsibility that you have, so we're going to handle it for you. I don't see any way around. And what are you going to do? Elbows up. You're going to quote Gordie Howe? Sports ball slogans. That's what you've got. That's how you're going to fight the American takeover, with memes of sports ball. President Trump, the Canadian said elbows. They said what? Oh my God, they've got elbows and they're putting them up. I was prepared to do whatever it takes to take Canada, but I can't do this with elbows. They're saying they've got elbows and they're putting them up. They're putting them way up. It's too much. We have to back off. Fuck off. They're laughing at you. You're a joke. We're going to have to spend, we might lose $1 billion in a trade war. How much money can you afford to lose? Because Elon has already recovered all the money and then some that they would ever lose in any trade war. And you're just burning down whatever's left for your political career. So you can stay in your pig trough. How many more Canadians are going to die as a result of this? Because every increase in unemployment equals suicide, equals poverty, equals crime. That's just bankrupt them even more. That'll fix it. It won't hurt anybody. Because the lockdowns and COVID, that economic destruction didn't hurt anybody. So why would the Americans basically just, that won't do anything, will it? And then when the country is at a crisis point, which probably by summertime we might be there, certainly by fall, I would think. This isn't, I don't see why the Americans would relent. They've got nothing to lose and everything to gain here. And China has also tariffed Canada, but you don't see anything about that. China's actually our enemy, guys. One of many we have. The fentanyl in this country, China. All the gang activity, the triads, China. The police stations, the election interference, the meddling, CSIS, China. A lot of China there, too. Yeah, it's America is the problem. Because we're too inept to police our own fucking house. Just blame the Americans. I don't want them to take over the country, but they're going to, and they can't be stopped, so why fight it? What are you going to do? we're have a guerrilla with National Post. We're going to have a guerrilla war. Oh, yeah? Who's going to do that? Chris Lambie? Where's this guerrilla force coming from? Oh, I know what you did. Did you read some old military? This is the plan. This is a defensive plan. Oh, what's the date on that? Can you tell me that? What's it say at the bottom there? 1975? Yeah, right, 1975. In 1975, it's not 1975, is it? In 1975 in Canada, you could buy a fucking machine gun. You could drink and drive and smoke cigarettes on your way home from the fucking machine gun store in 1975 in Canada. Not anymore. We don't have any guns. We're not allowed. Everybody's fat, sick, pill addicted, and out of their minds. And there's no guns anywhere. So what guerrilla war are you talking about? You're going to, oh, America's going to, they don't need to invade. They won't. But if they did, oh, we'll just turn into the Taliban. Oh, yeah. Well, the Taliban had 20 years of fighting experience against the Russians before we got there. They were very well versed in this whole activity beforehand. The average Canadian is afraid to go outside if he's not allowed. He's not allowed. You can't go out. It's not allowed. It's not a curfew. It's at 8:30. There's COVID. It's the Omicron variant. Yeah, go do your guerrilla war. Yeah, and it's only, don't worry, the guerrilla war is only in the summertime during nice days from 1 to 4 p.m. And you'll be home in time for Netflix. Don't worry. It's not days, weeks, months, years living in the forest and the mountains and, you know, not showering and eating whatever you can find and living in hell and people dying of disease and fine. No, it's none of that. It's 1 to 4 p.m. during the most comfortable months of the year, and you'll be home in time for dinner. Yeah. Fucking, this place is delusional beyond all measure, man. I just can't wait for it to be over, but I don't know when that's going to be. But like I said, it's not going to change anything. I'm not going to turn into something else. We're all still here. We all still care about each other, and we're what's left of Canada. And if we don't take care of each other, then we don't deserve to exist. But we'll keep working towards that, regardless of who's running the place. I don't care. It doesn't make any difference to me. Plum Groiper says, Iron Law of American Zog Democracy. If you're in the Teal BAP network, is it the Bronze Age pervert guy? You could post about total FedPost death and putting FedPost in blenders, but deportations, immigration restrictions are never on the table. Yeah. If you're the chosen people, if you're allowed to talk, you can get away with a lot of things. If you're not, it's really hard to get out of the echo chamber. And even then, even when nobody knows who you are, you'll still have a SWAT team at your door. I've had a couple. For nothing. It's already midnight. I said I wasn't even going to go in very long, and it's been almost 2 hours. And I didn't look at a single thing. I have so many stupid stories to look at, but do you guys even care? Like, why? Do we need to look at more of it? Let's see what the rest of the stuff says first. Dagleem says, Carney was at the Bank of Canada first, right after he left Goldman Sachs. Oh, he was at Goldman Sachs! Again, another banker, lawyer, banker. Wow, great. Well, that's what we need. We need responsible fiscal. Yeah. The people that have destroyed the world are who we need to fix it. Bankers. Yep. Scum of the earth. It's hard to say, like, who's worse, a politician or a banker? It's kind of the same thing. Kind of the same thing. A lot of them, politicians, lawyers, and bankers. It's kind of the trifecta of gay. And they need the bankers to hide the money for the crimes. They need the lawyers to cover up the crimes and move laws around and make adjustments to facilitate the crime. And the politicians to basically implement the crime. You see how that works? And they're interchangeable. Politician, banker, lawyer, politician, lawyer, banker, politician. It's not... It's not like, miners and farmers and soldiers and firemen. No, it's bankers, lawyers, and politicians. That's who runs everything. Scum of the earth. The worst people alive. I mean, I like the lawyers that I have, but they're kind of the exception that proves the rule. There's no such thing as 100% solution, they used to say. They say the exception that proves, there's always going to be a couple of, there's a few outliers. Well, that's how you know it's a rule, because there's no, 98% of the time is this, but there's always a few, that don't fit the mold. The exception to the rule, or the exception that proves the rule, and, they're decent people. I had one who refused to take money recently. It's like, are you sure? He's like, I don't need it. It was easy. I don't even need money for that. I'm like, okay.
I was just about to send you $1,000 and you're saying no to me. So, all right, well, I'm not going to. That's rare. I have had other lawyers that said, give me $5,000, did nothing. And I said, all right, never mind. Can I have that money back? Oh, yeah, I'll send you an invoice. And then you don't hear from them for weeks and you still haven't heard from them. Okay. Well, I guess I'll just sue that one too. I don't know. Thanks for nothing. Thanks for taking my money and doing nothing with it. Good job. Ryan GGG. Gennady Golovkin, is that you? Thank man. That's a very generous man. I appreciate that. He says, a nation of faggots run by Jews. Ezra Pound in reference to the USA. There's been some attempts, man. There's been some attempts of people trying to say and get it out there, but I don't know what it's going to take. It's just you're just going to have to run its course. Everything's going to have to fall apart and come to hell and fall to ruin, and then be rebuilt afterwards. There's just no way. There's no way to stop it now. We're locked in, so it's just survival. And that's why I don't care for politics. I don't care for any of that. I think it's a waste of time. This system is dead. It's sick. It's flawed. It's doomed to fail. It's failing right now. 5 years ago, I said, or I thought, and I was worried that XYZ would take place, and it has, and it's continuing. It's gotten pretty much everything, the gun ban, all that, the hate speech laws, it's all, yeah. And the confrontation's locked in. It's going to collapse. The country's run, it's full of sports ball bros like that guy. We got this far, the country we had, because it was built and maintained by men who were willing to sacrifice their time and their energy for the people around them. We don't have them anymore. Now it's just people taking things. So obviously, logically, this won't it won't stay the way that it was, right? If you're eating really well and sleeping well and drinking lots of water and you're sober and you exercise twice a day, you're going to be in great shape. Now, Canadians seem to think that, well, we used to be in great shape, so I just assume it'll stay that way forever. Even if I change all of my habits to be completely the opposite, I'm going to sleep all day, I'm just going to live on cheese, I'm going to be drunk all the time, I'm exercise, I'm never even going outside, and I'm going to expect to see the same body in the mirror that I did 10 years ago. And then when it's not there, they go, oh, it's probably those extremists! No, you're not doing what they did to get what we got. So we're not going to have what they had. We're going to get something else. We're going to get the results of the effort level that we're putting in, which is zero. So we're going to get what the corresponding result of that is, of zero effort, of apathy, and of filling your fucking house with sports ball trophies. An entire multiple generations of doing that. What do you think the damage is? Do you think it's significant? I don't know. You can look outside. Go look downtown. Why don't you go check out the homeless encampments under the bridge? They even used to exist. There is one. There's one outside of Truro. Never in my life have I seen that. Oh, look, a bunch of tents off the side of the highway. That's crazy. In February. There's people living there. There was. I mean, it's mid-March now, but... Oh, well, fuck them, right? Leafs and the Habs is on. No reason to be concerned. There's no signs of trouble anywhere. No sign of decay. Roads are falling apart. We're also, again, and when we do get absorbed by the United States, if they just make every province a state, which would probably make the most sense, or something close to that, Ontario would be the 51st poorest state in America. Our richest province would be the poorest one in all of the United States. I think Nova Scotia would be 57th or 58th poorest. We're not rich. We're very poor. As far as, European countries go, we are not in good shape at all. We're getting absolutely robbed blind. It's worse than it's ever been. There's no end in sight. It's not going to get better, and nobody's coming to help us. So, yeah. I'm going backwards. It's what used to work. Well, how did people used to survive before we had these, very strong, powerful institutions and countries and government, because that's all going away. So what did we have before that sustained everybody? Well, you had smaller communities of tightly knit, families and groups of men that worked together to, I can do this if you do that and they do this and everybody has a job to do. And that way we can all sustain each and we'll all be okay that way. All right. Well, we better start preparing for that.
Or you can sit there eating cheese and, you know, it'll I'll hide under some coats and it'll be fine. Why would it be fine? I'm just asking. Why would it be fine? If you're not actively trying to... They're not going to come help you. They're worried about themselves. And when everything really gets hellish, you think the police are going to be around to protect you? They aren't already. They'll just be another gang worried about themselves, protecting their own neighborhoods and their own homes with the guns that we paid for to give them as they take hours away. And when you call 911, when there's seven brown guys breaking into your house to do God knows what, nobody's answering the phone. They're not calling anybody. They're patrolling their own neighborhoods. And well, who's supposed to come help me? Okay, so what you do is you go upstairs to your bathroom and you open the door and you look in and there's a mirror there. That's who's supposed to help you, that guy. Did your dad not teach you that? Did nobody tell you that men are supposed to... Yeah. Yeah, that's suck. I know it sucks, but that's what being a man is, unfortunately. It's shitty, and you have to haul everything on your back all the time, and just that's how it is. That's what you get satisfaction and enjoyment from. Not video games and sell and I'm not gonna reach the head. You get it from providing for the people around you, for sacrificing and suffering to make their lives easier and better, and that makes you feel good. That's what men are supposed to do, and those are the healthiest ones doing that. The unhealthiest ones are the ones constantly chasing this childlike gratification that does no longer, it doesn't exist. You're not 12 anymore. You're 45, but that doesn't stop them from getting the new expansion of Call of Duty or whatever, and just mindlessly fucking... and depressed and high and I feel like shit. I wonder why you feel like shit. You're living like a 14-year-old still into your 40s. It's not, wow, you don't feel satisfied? You're not getting anything out of this life, are you? That's crazy. I can't imagine why. It must be so fulfilling to sit there and cheer on teenagers getting paid $10 million to kick a ball while you, play fantasy digital world. I like it. I like the shaming and the crushing of this. Some of these women are not wrong. I saw one post. It was probably a 4chan post or something, but it was this kid, man. I mean, I don't know what the fuck it was. 120 pounds playing Guitar Hero or something. New high score, fucking me. And they'll say like, oh, it took me this many hours to get good enough at Guitar Hero to book. Or you could have learned how to play an actual fucking guitar instead. You have a fake achievement. It's not anything. It's a plastic, fake, pretend toy. It's a Fisher-Price device. You could have learned how to play an actual game. You could have done something, but you didn't. And this woman was like, this is why. This is why there's no children. This is why women don't... Like, this is men now. This is what they do. And there are... a lot of people I could name, but it's like, why? There's enough of them. They just hate women and blame women. And they're all whores and fires. Okay, well, these guys, let's do an exterminator. They're under the, kind of chauvinistic superior. Yeah, well, men are better. Women are just dumb and fucking. Okay, so you think the men are the stronger sex. They should be leading, right? Okay. Why are you fucking failing then? If you're stronger and, you know, you should be the ones leading society, which I agree with, why are all the women fucked up? Sounds like you didn't do your job. Huh? Are a bunch of you guys sitting around playing fake nonsense fantasy world shit all day? Just checked out of society and letting migrants and foreigners take over everything and... I don't know, steal the trucking industry and running people over to death and do it. Yeah, I can't imagine that just the fucking the red panty sale must just be off the chain. Just lining up for neckbeards on Reddit with their fucking Lord of the Rings cosplay outfit.
Babe, did you see my Gandalf outfit? Isn't it cool?
Yeah, she loves it. Her and Jamal think it's amazing. Briefly glanced at it while you had her bent over, you fucking idiot. Because women are built to survive. And they will do what they got to do to survive. And if that means bending over for foreign guys because that's all there is, those are the only men there are, that's what they do. Read a book. That's what they do. Because it's that or die, and, you know, they don't. Which, you can't have it both ways, boys. Women are the problem? Or men are the stronger sex? It can't be both. If the men are stronger, then it's your responsibility to govern your fucking society, hold each other accountable, and not have a bunch of man children walking around abdicating their responsibilities every day. Or no, they're the problem. Oh, so they're the stronger ones, and they lead society, and they've ruined everything, and oh, whoa, they're damn them. Right? Eh. Nah, you guys just suck. You suck, and that's why they don't want anything to do with you, is because you can't compete. You're just a loser that can't compete, and you won't compete. You won't do anything difficult. You're afraid of being uncomfortable. I don't want to be called names. I don't want to. Ah, Jesus Christ. I don't know. Not that long ago, you had 14-year-olds volunteering to go to World War I because they didn't want to miss out. And now, geez, well, the only thing these guys are doing, volunteering to go, they're standing around the block at 2:00 in the morning for the early release of a fucking Harry Potter video game. That's what they're doing now.
Well, women all suck now. They're all OnlyFans.
Well, the society they're in is garbage. And the men have just checked out and stopped caring and stopped it. They don't fight anything. They don't do anything. They do whatever the fucking TV tells them to do. They're left to their own devices. They've got no role model, no leadership, nobody. So they're into the wind trying to survive. And the best way they found to survive is be whores on the internet. And there's no shortage of fucking loser men throwing money at them. There is nothing sadder. There's nothing sadder. I like it. You know, I don't like that. I don't like that that's what the women are doing. But, hey, they wouldn't be doing it if there wasn't a legion of faggot losers throwing money at them, would there be? If you guys had some self-respect and had the ability to go get one on your own instead of sitting home like a goon masturbating to strangers on the internet, emptying your fucking paycheck to some whore who doesn't give a fuck about you, if you weren't doing that, they wouldn't have that as a career opportunity. So once again, all these whores, how are there whores, Freddie? How are there whores? How are there all these professionals? Who's paying them? You are. That should be criminal. I mean, those guys should just be beaten senseless. How much money did you spend? $15,000 this year? I saw one guy, some story, horrible, right? I think it was like a Korean girl, got like stabbed to death. Because some guy basically paid her like $20,000 over a certain amount of time, and she just wouldn't answer his DMs or something, so he killed her. It's like, bro, the fucking entire child. This is the same kind of mentality I get from people. I saw one guy on Twitter, some other guy I blocked, right? It was one of these, this is my favorite one, one of my favorite ones, where they go, they think that they can say whatever about you. You know, pretend you're me or something, right? Or you're doing something similar. And somebody's like, just saying all kinds of awful shit about you. And then you're like, I don't need to see it. Fuck you. You blocked this person. I don't need this. I'm not enduring this. All I got to do is press this and you don't have any access to me ever again. I'm going to do that. And they go, oh, I paid you super chats and I did it. Oh, I'm sorry. Because you threw some money in a hat voluntarily. I didn't ask you to do anything. You think you own me and you think you're entitled to tell me what I think and I should do and I have to listen to you and endure whatever the fuck miscreant little bitch ass shit is coming out of your head. Oh, if I go to a Bill Burr show, if I pay 60, 80 or 800, I don't know whatever the fuck that idiot's charging now, to go listen to Bill Burr for an hour, do I own Bill Burr? Hey, Bill, I paid you $60 and I thought, no, that's retarded. So if you're throwing money at whores, they don't, that's your problem. Nobody's forcing you to. They're not a jukebox. These people are not your property. You give them money or don't. It's up to you. Is
entitlement and the lazy. Everybody is just a child. And again, soft society, soft people. We haven't had any real challenges. Everybody's special. Everybody gets a medal. Every little girl and boy is a winner. Everybody's amazing. Teaching kids that what? You don't have to try. And if anything's uncomfortable, you just avoid it because you have safe spaces. So avoid discomfort and everybody's a winner all the time. What does that breed? It breeds a society and an environment where nobody, well, it's this. Why lift a finger? Why work? Why do, man, we can't get young people to work anymore. They don't give a shit. They've never given a shit because they've never had to. It's not complicated. This is, I'm sorry, you feminist retards. This is the world you wanted. This is the world you wanted us to live in. This is equality and diversity and feminism. And isn't it great? Isn't it great? Oh, geez, we don't have an army? Oh, Lieutenant General Jenny better introduce conscription. Better start at Parliament. I have a feeling it's not where it's going to start. I don't think that's ever going to happen, though. I think General Jenny's just going to sit there and maybe come up with some new pronouns, or
maybe we need more trans officers to represent the trans community.
Fire that woman. Fire the top 10% of all officers in the Canadian military, first of all. Shame of the police. They're not. They shouldn't be there. They should be in jail. If anything, confiscate their assets. Here's what the army is for. The military is not for peacekeeping. It's not for disaster relief. It's not for supporting our allies. It's not. These are all things it can do, but that's not what it's for. If I have a hammer, I can smash a window with it. I can sink it into somebody's cranium and kill them. I can use the back end of it to pry a door open. I can do a lot of things with it. But what is it for? Well, it's for hammering nails into boards. That's what it's for. It's not for those other things. Just because it can do that, that's not what it's made for. It's for this purpose. So what is the military for? Well, it's to compete in the murder Olympics. War is the ultimate competition. The stakes are total. If you lose, you die. Pretty intense game. Okay? These idiots and these delusional morons that have appointed an old grandma who runs away from harassing mortar fire, which I've slept through, I've played poker games through. What was that? I don't know. Who gives a fuck? Big deal. Ah! She tried to run away. Had to be restrained. That's who's running the military now. They take professional sports more seriously than the military. What's more serious, professional sports or the murder Olympics? It's your people against their people, and you're going to have a killing contest, and whoever's better at murdering the other team, oh, we've been murdered, oh, they win. Now they are going to have their way with your women, your children, your everything. They get to do whatever they want because all the people stopping them, well, they're dead. They lost at Murder Olympics. Womp, womp. That sucks. They probably should have had better murderers in the Murder Olympics. Now you're at the mercy of someone else. That's what war is. But you know what? We need tampons, and we need they-thems, and we need equality, and we need representation, and we need diversity. No, you need people that are good at Murder Olympics. That's the only thing that matters. That's the only thing that matters. But women don't play tight end for the fucking Philadelphia Eagles, do they? Are any 5'2" females playing defense for the Pittsburgh Penguins? I mean, they're police officers. They can do that, apparently. Why can't they play defense for the Pittsburgh Penguins? Why? Oh, I don't know. Because a fucking 6'4", 240-pound man will skate into them at 60 miles an hour and kill them. Ray Lewis will come flying down the field and pick her up and drive her spine into the... and she will be dead. That's what will happen. The 270-pound gorilla monster of a man will destroy... That's why women aren't in the NFL and the NHL. So, okay.
We don't allow that, but they can be cops and soldiers. They can compete in the Murder Olympics and the Security Olympics. That's what they can do, but not in the actual Olympics. We don't let women compete in sports, but we will let them compete in murder sports, where the consequences are way more severe. Because, I mean, in hockey and football, I mean, maybe you'll get really badly concussed, broken neck, spine, whatever, but in the other game, what is it, the murder Olympics? Oh, they're dead. And sometimes they get captured and raped to death and then dead, you know. Do you have any idea how, again, instinct. I don't care who likes it, doesn't like it. I was there. I did this job. This is my backyard. You don't know what the fuck you're talking about, so kindly sit down. You know what it does to men when they see women, their women get killed in front of them? It's not good. It's very bad for morale. It's very upsetting, and it really fucks with the guy. It's traumatizing. Seeing other men get killed is bad enough, but it's not the same. I'm going to be careful. I don't want to out anybody, but there were some women, females killed in Afghanistan, and I knew some of the guys that were in. Because instinctively, the men, their job is they're to fight and protect the women and the children and the things they love and care about. That's supposed to be back. That's who they're protecting. And if you're seeing them get blown up and shot up and massacred in front, it's not good for your soul. It doesn't feel good. But in the name of equality, I guess. I mean, just logic would think that strapping on a 90-pound rucksack and putting a machine, you know, a 25-pound machine gun in the hands of a 5'4" woman who weighs 110 pounds, probably she won't be very good at that as much as a 6-foot, you know, 200-pound farm boy from Alberta, but equality, you know. I mean, we don't need to win the Murder Olympics. It's more important that it looks good on a catalog to please General Jenny and a bunch of bleeding heart liberal moms somewhere. Oh, look at all the inclusion. Yay, that's great. I love the new army. Yeah, it looks good in a catalog, doesn't it? It's terrible at fighting and is totally pointless for what it's for. But yeah, it looks good, doesn't it? Looks good on your fucking diversity portfolio, doesn't it? We don't even have any. We send half of our most of our equipment, our stockpiles that are supposed to be there in the case of a war or a serious situation. It's all gone. It went to Ukraine. It's all on fire in a field near Kursk right now, or in Russian hands. And I'm sure you're thinking, oh, I will just buy new stuff. Okay, from where? Because we don't have any factories. We don't make artillery guns. We don't make tanks. We don't make anything. We don't have ammunition factories. We don't have anything. We make some APCs sometimes, and there's a Colt rifle factory, I think. That's it. We have to get it from other countries that make it, and they're all in the middle of a rearmament process in advance of this war with the Russians and the Chinese that's probably coming. So we have to wait and get in line, and you're never getting any of that stuff you gave to Ukraine back. That's never coming back. And you're going to have to probably pay through the nose because guess what? Everybody wants guns, tanks, cannons, everybody wants. So guess what? It's a buyer's market. It's a seller's market. So what you would have paid for that 10, 15 years ago, it's going to be a lot more than that now. Oh, good. Billions more dollars for equipment we already should have had, but we had to slava, didn't we? So it's all on fire on the other side of the world now. Who decided that? Oh, right. It was all the politicians who told everybody to get medicine time and gave themselves a pay raise. They made that decision. They're amazing. Amazing. We should listen to more of them. So I don't know. What's the wait list on getting those artillery batteries replaced that we shipped off to Ukraine? Probably 10 years and billions of dollars. That's not going to be here in time. Good job. All the night vision. We go, oh, well, we'll have to buy new night vision. Oh, again, from who? Because the United States is gearing up. And so is every other country. So get in line. And you can have it faster. Are you willing to pay more money? Oh, you don't have any money? Oh, that sucks, Karen. Oh, well, I guess.
I understand this is not going to do anything. It's not going anywhere. It's not going to fix anything. But I feel like the least I can do is at least call them out on it. And at least there was some people that could see how fucking selfish and pathetic and ridiculous they were. Let it be known that they didn't get away with selling us down the river and destroying our lives and our country and our future. Unnoticed. You didn't go unnoticed. If I ever get an opportunity, if there's just some button to push or pothole to avoid, there's something I can do. If there's ever an opportunity that presents itself where I can really lay the hurt on some of these people, mentally, physically, financially, whatever it is that I could do that presents itself to me as an opportunity to just destroy their lives, I will do it instantly without a second thought. Because I'm not a weak person. I have a stomach to hurt other people, which is what's required in real life, in grown man world. If you don't have that, you're not cut out for it. If you don't have what it takes, as your enemy is like, please, mercy, nope, boot to the head. If you can't do that, please get out of the way. You're those people. You gotta have mercy on your enemies. No, you kill your enemies. You love your friends and you have no mercy on your enemies. That's what you do. Because you know what happens in real life? I know you watch a lot of movies and Netflix, but in real life, when you go, oh, let's have mercy, they go, please. And when they reach their hand out to pick them up, they, yeah, and you get a bayonet in the belly and now you're dead. Or, oh, surprise, he's been holding a grenade this whole time. You get an opportunity to end it, you end it. You don't. Somebody's your enemy, they're your enemy for a reason. It's not a misunderstanding. I just got to talk it out. They got to go. And if you can't adopt that mentality for people that are trying to kill you, and poisoning your family and stealing from you, and you're probably not going to survive. You don't have survival instincts. Are we all going to support Justin Trudeau now that he's out of office? Because, I mean, you got to have mercy on your enemies, right? You got to, poor Justin. I mean, he tried his best. Come on, you guys. Let's give him a fuck him. No. Be on his knees begging, pleading. Oh, I'm sorry. I wouldn't even stop eating my sandwich. You done? You done crying? Y'all done? Get in the hole. Yeah, I know. Get in the hole. I don't know what you're so upset about. I'm just sending you to see all the people that you helped murder. You can go visit them. They're all dead. Oh, you see this big graveyard full? That was you or your handiwork. You did that, right? Yeah. Were they? Did they get mercy? Justin? Pierre? Well, they weren't essential, were they? They weren't essential workers. They didn't stay safe. They didn't trust the science, did they? Now they're dead. Fuck them, right? Why even mention it? But no. No, the poor enemies of the... Oh, yeah, you know. If that's your attitude, if that's what you're like, you're not going to make it. I'm sorry. That attitude is reserved for... That's for your friends and family, okay? You have mercy for your friends and family and people that, you know... People that deserve it, that are worthy. You see, you know, it happens. You get into situations where you end up at odds with people you would rather not be, and you know shit gets carried away, and sometimes you just get, you know, you got to let it go for the sake of it, because it's your family, it's your friends. Like, what are you doing? What are you fighting over this for? It's just stupid. But people that are trying to kill you, lie to you, rob you, steal from you, you know. I don't have time for that. I know, you know, if you do, fucking good luck. Have fun. See how far you got. One guy I used to I don't have any respect for anymore at all, because he's a fucking weasel, as so many people are. Regarding Ezra Levant, said, I don't know why he's doing this. We respond, slandering me, and I'm suing him, and I'm going to win, and we're just waiting still. It's fucking, man, it's slow, but I don't know why he's doing it. I don't know. I know. I just don't understand. I don't understand why you do that. It's crazy. Okay, sure. Several days later, oh, look who's taking friendly photos with Ezra Levant. That guy. Mm-hmm. Because didn't you just agree with me that this was totally disgusting? Yeah? Well, here's another fun fact, fun gaming. Go to ChatGPT or Grok or somebody, or these AIs. Go look up how many times Ezra Levant has been sued, and, you know, for slander, libel, defamation. It's a long list. It's a lot. And they're buddies. They're pals, right? I'm the bad guy, but, you know. Nice to your face, and then fucking home team, though, right, boys? And those same people will be like, oh, yeah, he's just an asshole. He just stopped talking to me for some reason. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, you're just palling around with people that are trying to get me killed. It's a big deal, eh? it's all fun and games, right? Yeah, okay. Well, when you're in prison fighting off gangs of natives with fucking shanks, you know, I'll help your enemies and take pictures with them, and I'll say, hey, I mean, just relax, man. Come on. It's just, what's the big deal? This is a misunderstanding. Fuck, people said, man. Who needs enemies when you have Canadians, you know? Let's go down. I didn't mute myself twice, Jenstein. What are you talking about? I don't think I've just been going straight. I'm fine. I'll leave. It's late anyway. 2.5 hours is more than you deserve. Yeah, Gleams have sent you the Leafs guy on Telegram. I should say, yeah, thanks. I'll see if I see that. I'll save that because it's probably going to come in handy someday again. Keep your heads on a swivel. Says votes determine which way the wind blows. And they tell people which way the wind's blowing, and they just go with it too, as well. Jenstein says low production value, no camera changes, muted. There was no mutes, and I have changed. Just look at this. Just here. Look at Phil's dick. There you go. There you go, Jenstein. That's what everybody gets to see now. All right. Are you happy now? Why don't you tickle it? Tickle it for me, Jenstein. Oh, no. No, no. You're not going anywhere. Lock the door. Lock the doors. He's waiting. Get in there. Get real. You want to get real in there. You need to get closer? Come on. No, no. Don't gag. I know it smells bad. It doesn't. Just get in there. Bring it. You need a Febreze? It doesn't. Do what you got to do. Come on. Get in there, Jenstein. If you don't want to be singled out. Keep your heads. Says natives be pissed. Colonized twice in 51st state. Well, don't worry. The Indians will take care of that. They're going to take real good care of the indigenous community. The Indians, the Chinese, the Jews, they. Don't worry. Don't worry. The reserves will get so much money when all the white people are dead. It's going to be so good. You guys are going to love it. You're going to love it when the most empathetic people in the world are gone. You'll love it then. You'll love it when the only people willing to even pretend to try to help you out are all gone. It's going to go awesome for you then. Yeah, it will. Don't worry. Dango Eames says, bankers versus politicians. The hand that gives is above the hand that takes. Versus bankers and politicians. Breezy says, never forget the hula hoops. Yeah, they took down the... Oh, wait, what are you talking? Hula hoops? The basketball hoops you took down. Jenstein says, tame your tongue and praise Israel. I will never do that. This is not rebel news. We are not a vote-gathering machine and donation-collecting machine for the Conservative Party, which is just... well, they're Shabbos goys, you know? They're just here to fuck you over. They're here to make sure there is no real conservative party by propping up this fake one, siphoning all the energy that would go to something legitimate. Subscribe to our newsletter. Send money to my slush fund. You better not talk bad about me or I'll sue you and lose like I always do. The only thing he's worse at as being a journalist is being a lawyer. Keep Your Head says, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentations of the women. Yeah. I mean, it could be satisfying. I haven't looked at Rumble all night, and I better get to, oh my God. Yeah, I didn't. Let me catch up here, guys. Swiss Stangle says, good evening. Good to see you again. Hope your family and Morgan are well. Hope you had a good birthday. 49 only comes once. I make it there. I may actually make it to 40. I didn't think I would. But, you know, maybe happen. Snezhana says, happy belated birthday. Thank you. And Camby says, you're loved and appreciated. Well, by about 1,900 people. That's it. And to be honest, probably 200 of them are just, like, obsessively... It's like the ex-girlfriend effect, you know? There's a phenomenon. It's Diaglon derangement syndrome, but it's more centered. I don't know why. It's about me. Because it's not like the Diaglon did anything to them specifically. And all of these people that I'm thinking of, that I'm going to talk about, were obsessed. Loved me. Wouldn't stop calling, texting. Oh, look at me, all the time. And eventually you go, oh, this person is either, you know, that person's literally schizophrenic and threatening people. That's the kind of that. That person's stealing. You're right. And they get caught. And then, okay, time to leave. And they get, like, John Lennon, like, you know, the guy, like, who is it? The shot John Lennon. Oh, it was probably the CIA or something, right? Crazy, obsessive, like, ex-girlfriend energy. And not for a week or a month. It's for years. Years after the fact. 4 years later, 5 years later. Taking, I mean, not every single day, but several hours a week at least, if not more. Every day together, tweeting about me, going into chat rooms, typing about me, sending emails. I can't believe this could be the end. Because I rejected them, because I didn't want them around me, because they're bad, shitty people, because I have standards and they don't meet them. So that makes me the bad guy, and they're forever entangled, and it's just... It must hurt. I know you love me, but I mean, there's about 200 people in there. No. I would guess around that time. And they don't know what else to do with themselves. Still, I still get them. I still get the emails and the texts. It's like almost every day from somebody. And it's like, I can't imagine that's how pathetic your life is. This is what you're doing with your time. As if I care, anyone's going to care. Everyone's going to could be dead tomorrow. No friends, no family, no purpose, no career, nothing really, no reason for living. just kind of a parasite, just kind of be floating along, consuming. Forever jilted. Nut boy? Fuck sakes, pal. For a dollar? Banned forever. Brian says, really good to see you. You're the only one who consistently tells the truth. I try to. I'm not right all the time, but I do try to. And it's, if you want to be like ultra hated, just tell the truth to people. Just tell them the truth and everyone will hate you. It's foolproof. It works every time. When everybody loves Trump,
everything's amazing. Everything has never been better.
Okay.
I'm releasing the Epstein files, minus the ones that included me. I had those destroyed. I destroyed them right away. A lot of people said, you got to get rid of those. You can't have those laying around. And I said, that's right. We can't have that. We can't have that laying around. We don't want that getting out. Melania said, you got to get rid of that. And I said, you know what? That's a great idea. I don't even know. I've never met Epstein. I only met Epstein. I never met him. I met him. I didn't meet him. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. I don't know. I'm only in 84 different photographs, many videos, and dozens of different occasions, but that's only because I barely knew him. I never knew him. I don't know him.
Nobody knows him. Nobody anywhere has ever known him. It's just all coincidence. That shit's never coming out. Because that's who runs the world. People he worked for. My button. That's the hold music that you hear when you call the number to see like where the Epstein files are. They put you on hold and you listen to that's what that is. Mav says the irony is the phone is a magical talisman that beams you all world knowledge to your toilet through the air and it's destroying us instead. The irony is it was a great joke. It was, how did it go now? You know, they used to say that the reason the world's all fucked up is because people don't have access to information. It's education. They're just not educated. If they had access to information that they could educate themselves, everything would be fixed. Well, that's obviously not the reason. That's obviously not the problem because there's more access to information than any has ever been humanly possible in history, and people have never been dumber. So that's not it. Nationalist C says, Pro Pat, one RCR vet to another. Thanks for telling it how it is. Much respect. Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And I always like hearing from you guys, man. It's like, have you done that? Have any of you guys done that? Like, I just sit and sometimes I go, how many of us are even still alive? So many of the guys are dead that it's like, I don't know. It's got to be half of us are gone by now. And we're not even 40, you know? By the time I'm 60, if I live that long, I mean, how many of us will even be left? I'll be 61 years old watching a fucking CBC, made for TV fucking 1 hour special about Afghanistan and all the fucking people in it are Indian. My old, 2RCR will be full of fucking Khalistani Indians. Like, yeah, just like in real life. Steven says, eventually everything will boil down to a violent uprising to reset the system. Always has, always will. The greed is unstoppable. They can't have enough. They can't eat enough. They can't have enough money. They can't have enough control. It is. It's guaranteed because eventually there's not enough. There has to be enough for people to sustain a decent, dignified living, and we already don't have that. And, the people they're bringing in don't mind. Indians will live 25 people deep to a house. They don't care. They'll work for minimum wage. They'll work for nothing. They'll live in a pile of cockroaches and love it. They're the ideal slave class. That's what they're here for. That's what it's for. We need more workers and people to offset all the death and the declining population and everybody's dying and... You know, okay, well, let's just pack Indians in here because they won't mind that this place is turning into a hellhole. They won't mind that this is a massive upgrade compared to where they're from, so they're not going to complain at all. They're going to love it. They're going to love it here. Steven says you should set up a Jagiellon chapter in every province so like-minded people can get together and discuss action plans. Well, no, I'm not doing that because, you know, most people are shitty and have no respect for themselves or other people and, you know, none of that. I've, you know, there's the club we're working on. You want to go to secondsons.org and apply that way. I don't think it's open yet. The application page is not open, not live yet. But what day is it? The 19th? Hopefully by the end of the month. Should be by the end of the month. It'll be there. And but, you know, again, there's standards. So it's like you can't just be a piece of shit and, hey, I'll do things for me. Nope. Nope. And we're going to look into you. There's background checks. There's record checks. There's all these things. So, you know. A lot of people have tried doing stuff like that, and it's just the country's full of people that are just looking to take advantage, steal, grift, me's. It's just, you know, if you don't have quality control, hey, I'm a fascist, right? I believe in quality over quantity. That's what the other side does is quantity over quality. They'll just throw bodies and shit at you until they overwhelm you. That's what they do. I like quality. I'd rather have, you know, a bunch of guys where each one of them is worth 10 of theirs. I would rather that every day than you know, just masses of trash people, which is a lot of people. And they're not even interested in fixing that or improving upon that or doing anything about that. Just want to complain and whine and want other people to do everything for them. Well, they're not going to, and you're on your own. Make yourself useful and invaluable and help, or fucking, I don't know, you're not my problem. I don't know who this guy is, but, you know, a chapter of what? Like, this is just, what is this? It's just people listening to a podcast. It's not, you know, anything really, but, you know, organized groups of men are what you need to do anything. So that's the first thing that people should be doing. That's what we're trying to do. And I don't really care who's interested or not. Like, we're not stopping for anybody, and it's been going pretty well so far. There's quite a few, and I'm not, you know, we're worried about ourselves. I don't care what the fuck is going on out there because it doesn't concern me. It's just a distraction. Did you see what the government did? No, I don't care. I literally don't care what they say or do ever anymore. I just kind of just make cursory attention, like, oh yeah, oh, they're still gay. Okay, cool. I don't care. Working amongst ourselves is really the only thing that matters because that's all we have. Everything else is a waste of time. It's again, if the confrontation is inevitable, which I think it is, doing anything other than preparing for the time when we're completely on our own and up, you know, we're gonna have to survive on our own wits and our own people, then if you're not preparing for that, then what are you doing? It's like there's a snowstorm coming and we don't have shelter, and some guys are working on a shelter and other people are just sitting around. Ha ha ha! You know, making snow angels and pushing each other into the bushes and still, like, if you think that's a good use of your time, oh, don't worry, I'm going to vote and then there won't be a storm. Okay. Well, I don't want to risk that. I'm not taking a chance on that crazy scheme. So we're going to be over here trying to find a way to not die. And you guys can put on a purple shirt and go vote. Scotia Gentleman says, I've been in bed for 6 days. The only thing that kept me going is looking forward to the Rage Cast. Oh, man. Don't tell me that. I already feel bad enough. Fever Cast. By the way, here's the Leafs Man Cave. Okay, that was a while ago. Thanks. Somebody sent it to me. I'll download it later. Red Pilled says, respect. Thank you, man. Or woman. Can't quite tell. Sora or madam. Thanks. I appreciate it. It's nice. Epoxy Bear says, USA wants to invade Canada. They don't have to. They already own us. As the top 1% of the top 1%. I wouldn't mind bringing some machine guns and helping you thin out the Pajit problem. I think that's why Trump wants Canada. They got so many Indians up there. They've got so many. We need all of the Indians. They've got lots of Indians in India. They've got a billion of Indians, and we don't have anywhere near that many Indians. And we want more. We need more. Canada has more Indians outside of India than I think anybody has many Indians on Earth. I think there's more Indians there than anywhere. So why would I go and get Indians in India when I can just go to Canada and get millions of Indians right away? That's a great, much better deal. It's a deal for us. It's a deal for everybody. And that way we can get more H-1B work visas to Indians way faster if we just take Canada. Because there's fucking millions of them here now. In 1960 or 65, I can't remember which year. Statistic I didn't know. I looked it up. I was like curious. What were the demographics like in Canada in 1960, 65? I mean, I have an idea, but I was like, how many black people were there in Canada in 1965? 50,000. Yeah. No, not in Toronto. I mean, total. In the whole country. Toronto, Montreal, Halifax. That's where pretty much all of them were. And there was 50,000. And then there was, you know, a couple, like 2 million indigenous people, something like that, or 1.5 million. And everybody else was white. And now it's millions of Indians, millions of Chinese, just bring them all in, bring the whole, anyone from anywhere, bring everybody, more people. It doesn't matter. They don't even need to speak English. They'll be in the military. They can be anything. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be a citizen to be in the military anymore. We're fast tracking that. You know, need more voters. Yep. We had a very respectable military in the 60s, and we only had like 18 million people in the country. We had half as many people as we do now, and we were twice as productive and efficient and powerful with half as many people. Did somebody want to break this down for me, how that makes any sense? I can guess. I have some ideas. Rowdy Roddy says, our current leaders want to lock us in camps for refusing to take a medical procedure. Do we really want the people controlling them to win the current geopolitical tug of war? Well, I don't think there's any winning involved. I think it's just this whole thing is going to come apart. And there's nothing that can be stopped now. He says, polls aren't designed to reflect reality. They're designed to shape reality. The ones in Canada reflect reality, in my experience. They've always been very accurate. And I don't think people are looking at... Most people don't follow polls. Most people aren't logging into, like, LegerePolls.com and, like... They've got a system down. It's fairly reliable, and it's been pretty on the money for, man, I don't know, 15, 20 years. It's been pretty close. They definitely did that in America with the media. Like, Hillary's got a 99% chance to win. Because her side of the mafia, that's who they wanted. And they underestimated the other side of the criminal mafia. And they got one over on them. And then the next time they doubled down and rigged it and still, but then he got the better of that. And he came out. Now he's on. Now he won. He won the war eventually. That's what I think happened. And that's why you're never going to see any Epstein stuff. Because if you did... If America got the truth about Epstein Island, America would demand that we go to war with Israel yesterday. So that's never going to happen because that's Trump's favorite people in the whole world. Because they own him. Sheldon Adelson bought... Where is that? Find that clip. I don't have time. I'm not going to look for it tonight. It's getting late. I'm going to go to bed soon. But there's a clip of Sheldon Adelson, who is this... I think it was Sheldon Adelson. He was this... very, very rich, billionaire, Jewish guy, talking about how they bought Donald Trump. He was bankrupt in the 90s when he, you know, because he's such a genius. He spent all of his money, massive, insane casinos, and I'm a megalomaniac, all that. He blew himself up, and he went broke, and he was bankrupt. And they thought, this is a guy we could use, so they just bought him. Covered his debts, gave him some money, he works for them, and ever since. And he said, the quote is, he was worth more to us alive than dead. And they don't mean dead. It's just in that world of coin collecting, shekel fest, dead means you don't have any money. You're broke. You don't have any money. If you don't have any money, you don't exist. You don't matter. You're not a billionaire. You don't have $200 million. You don't fucking matter. You're not anything. You're broke. You're dead. So he's worth more to us alive than dead. So we bought him and gave him money and, you know, don't. Pay attention to that. Don't look into that. Don't look into Dershowitz. Don't look into Cohen. Don't look into Epstein or Matt. None of it. Just trust the plan. Put on your fucking red hat and watch the TV show. Pat yourself on the back and tell yourself you're smart. It's that easy. That tracks, right? That's how life is. That life is that easy. You just pick a team and go there. Well, everything always gets worse. Because it's so easy. Oh, damn. Can't believe I fell for it again. I'll never do that again. Yeah, you will. Easy. I was just, this is a mouthful. Angarad Celtic? Whoa. I don't know. He says, thank you for trashing Game Boy Betaman. hey, I like them too. I play video games once in a while. I mean, maybe 2 hours a week at best, if that anymore. I just don't have the time, and I've got other... it's been a couple of weeks since I've had the time. Or more, maybe longer. I don't know. But it's just... It's escapism. It's a distraction. If you know that's what you're doing, and it's for your mental health, where you're like, you know what? I just need a fucking day to unwind and not... You know, I just need to be somewhere else in my head for a little while, because that's fine. You know, that's called the hobbyism. It's when people go, that's when you do your hobbies, right? And if your hobby is playing a video game for a few hours, it's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you're setting world records at Guitar Hero, that's not fine. That is insane. I'm like one of the top Call of Duty players in the world. Your dad should beat you with a strap, with a belt. That's like, you're like the best masturbator in the world. Like, these are not accomplishments. This is not something to be proud of. Like watching movies or TV, like, okay, a few hours here, like, that's one thing, but it shouldn't be, you know, if there's a pie chart of your time and your life, like, it shouldn't, this much is leisure distraction time, and this tiny thin sliver is like actual adult fucking productivity. Like, that's not, it should be backwards. He says, I've been complaining about them for years. Adult men who behave like toddlers, play video games 24/7, who refuse to be men, are worthless. I agree. They are worthless. They're spending their time and energy on fake achievements and accomplishments that go nowhere and do nothing. And there's, again, there's, you know, hobbies and unwinding. Some a couple here, that's one thing, but there's way too many. I mean, any is too many, that it's what they do all the time. It's why they even, if they even have a job, the reason is so that they can afford money, or they can have money to facilitate their escapism addiction. Because in the fantasy world of where they're a level 99 wizard, or they're a commando, or they're fucking a knight, or that's more exciting to them, and that's more comforting and pleasurable in their mind than their real life, which is hopelessly depressing. And they're in a childlike state of arrested development where that's very amusing and interesting when you're 12 and 13. I remember being 12, 13. Like, some of these games I'd be like reading about and following for months before they're even released. And I'm like, you know, before Christmas, you're like, I can't even sleep to play. But I mean, I'll see something now that looks cool. I'll put it in the cart and I'm like, yeah, I'll get that whenever that's, it's, you know, I've had shit I've bought and haven't even opened because it's been months and I just haven't had time. It, you know, it's not. It's a way to, you know, it's escapism, you know, and it's, anyway, he says, what's the point of getting together and getting hard if you aren't making white babies? Well, that's the easiest thing to do, and the thing people want to do the least, apparently. Future belongs to those who have children. A lot of guys have no investment in the land that they claim. I have a lot of concern, and I big doubt on men especially, who are just rah, rah, look at white power, man. Yeah, how many kids you have? None? Oh. You gonna get any, or, you know, like, that's... I don't know. I mean, I remember before I had children and after, and it's true, your brain does change. It changes the physical composition of your brain. It you can scan it and see the difference from when you have children, when you don't. And there's no equal to that. The love that you have for your own children, if you're a healthy person, is so compelling and deep and endless that you'll do anything. You'll do fucking anything. And it's a superpower, and it can be a weakness at the same time. It's all depends on how you wield that. But I mean, think of it. If you have a bunch of childless men, are they going to stay here and fight and risk? I mean, what does fighting look like anymore? Right now, like you said, this is a war we're in. It's an information war. You know, they don't need guns anymore. They just need this, and they have that. Are they going to stay and fight, or even physically, like, whatever? if they have no ties to this place, like you said, they have no children, no family, like, or they just fuck off to, you know, let's go live in Brazil or something. Go live in Costa Rica. It's cheap. Right? That seems more appealing if you're a single guy with nothing to, right? If you have children, it's a different story because then it's like, this is their home. This is my home. And I, it is the most effective and powerful way to force yourself to level up that there is. And yeah, a lot of guys are just avoiding that. And it's not a good time right now. It's not convenient. Yeah, there's never a good convenient time. There's always something else to do. There's always a reason why. So if that's your attitude, we didn't used to have all these pervasive birth control techniques. Like, listen, you got married and you had kids when you had them, or you did, and that was it. There was no. Now it's like, I'm going to have my first child when I'm like 35 or 40. 40. You're having, you're starting. It disables them and it makes them. Like, you're depriving, like, there's another level to you that you don't know exists that you may never find or see if you don't pursue that. When I had my first son, I just, there was no planning involved. It was just, hey, I'm pregnant. I'd be like, oh shit, really? Well, I guess we're doing this now. That's life. That's how it works. That's how I got here. That's how, you know, well, there you go. There it is. Don't think about it too much, you know? I know people with like 5, 6 kids and they don't have any money. They say, oh, is that enough money? Well, if you want to live like a fucking millionaire, I have to go to Cuba every year, and I have to go here, and I have to go there, and I don't have enough money for that. Well, no, you just want to live like a fucking Persian king. You don't, it's an excuse. There's tons of people live. I don't know. But if somebody out there is, you know, on the phone, I don't know when the right time, the right time is when you can, because you may not get another opportunity. You know, lucky you would be to have children. You have any idea how a lot of people can't and don't ever get the opportunity, or physically can't, or whatever. And it's the best thing that you can do. It's the most amazing thing. And you have the opportunity and you push it away because you're like, well, you know, I was in the Army at the time and I was like, you know, I've got these different courses I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get on, you know, into this other unit. I've got a lot going on, you know, my career, right? Could have made all those excuses, but, you know, I didn't. And it was like, I don't regret it at all. It's probably the best non-decision I ever made. And the instant you see the, you know, picture on the screen of the tiny little, you know, everything's different after that. And that literally changed my stance on abortion instantly. Instantaneously. I used to not care. I used to be like, yeah, if you want to, go ahead. I don't, you know, good. I don't care. It's just a clump of cells, you know, all the shit that they teach you. But you could feel it when you see, you know, that's your child. And I could not imagine. Like, I was ready to do whatever it takes to protect this. Like, what even is that? It looks like a bean. I'll do whatever it takes. It's still my son. He's just not done yet. He's not done now. He won't be a grown man for another 10 years. Like, when are they done? Abortionist people? That's not even a baby yet. Okay, it's not even a grown man yet. It's only a 4-year-old. Ah, this one didn't work out. Let's just kill him. Abortion. Real late-term abortion. In Canada, you can abort in 9 months in Canada. Yep. Oh, yeah. Go sit through one. You ever see what one looks like? You ever want to go see these videos? Go. You want to see what an abortion is? Go check it out. Hold your fucking, tape your eyes open and watch this shit. Oh, look, there's a baby's hand. You know, oh, I was just a clump of cells. Yeah. Keep telling yourself that. You know, I saw that and I was like, they fucking lied to me. I could feel it immediately in my chest. Like, oh my God. Anyway, I like speaking of Bill Burr, you know, yeah, he is a massive cuck, and I get that. He's a good comedian, though. He's funny, or used to be, at least for normie stuff. But he had a great bit on that, and that's how I feel about it. He said, listen, you know, as far as abortion goes, listen, You want to get an abortion? You know, that's your business. You should be able to do that if you want. But I also think you're killing a baby. So, whatever, you know? Like, you could do it if you want. I mean, it's your life and your... I can't, you know, I'm not going to... Yeah, you are killing a baby. That is what you're doing. So don't... You can't have it both ways. You want to do it? Go ahead. But that is what you're doing. Well, I'm not. Okay, but yeah, you are, you know? And what is the rest of the joke? Is like, I think I... You know, like, baking a cake. Taking a cake out of the oven when it's half done. Just throw it on the floor. It wasn't a cake, yeah. Well, it was going to be. It would have been. So when is it? When is the baby done? You know, when is it not okay to kill them? Abort when they're 21, when they're 19. Why can't you kill a 5-year-old? It's not done. Still technically a clump of cells developing from when it was this big. So now it's this big, and later it'll be bigger than that. It's the exact same logic. Yeah. Steven says, "How many armed civilians would it take to defeat the Canadian Armed Forces?" Depends on the size of the area. Are you talking about a field, a city, a country? Like in Canada, like if the Canadian people were going to fight the military, um, 20,000, 30,000 people, that would do it. Yeah. Which is, what is that? Like 0.04% of Canada, something like that. It wouldn't be very many. We have like we have about 10,000 combat troops, maybe 50, and that's 20,000 on paper, including the reserves. And most of the reserves aren't real. Reserve units have, they get paid budgets depending on how many troops they have. So they have people on the manifest and the roster that haven't shown up to work in years. They're just on there because they want the extra money. And a bunch of ones that are on there, they'd show up twice a year, maybe. They're like old alcoholics that haven't even done anything, but they're just, oh, that's Sergeant, Billy Bite. He's like, hey, back in the 80s, I used to back in the... There's a bunch of those. That guy's a high school teacher who can't see. He's blind. Like, it's... The paper numbers are not a accurate representation of what we actually have, and what we actually have is not much at all. The NYPD could outgun us. The New York Police Department could probably defeat the Canadian military just in numbers and manpower and equipment and so on. Jenstein says mental health check. CRJ has pure sperm. That's not a good. People are just trying to unwind and trying to not think, and you have to say, like bringing up anybody's sperm at all, but then like purity levels, like you're measuring it, your exam, is there a microscope, is there a filtering there's a lot there, and I don't like any of it, and I gotta go to bed soon, I'm gonna dream about... I mean, I'll allow it because he pays me, but, Blam says, so Daglon could defeat Canada. Maybe. Numbers-wise, it's possible, If I was totally reckless and insane and was just like, most of us would die. Yeah, but we could win. It's possible. Be a bloodbath. It wouldn't be good. Roddy says, stop pulling out, boys. Fuck you, make me. Yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than having your kids, man. I wouldn't change it for anything. But don't ask the communists or the, abortion is a Jewish value if you ask them. They're real proud of that. They'll say, we wouldn't have abortion if it wasn't for the Jewish faith and all. Oh, we wouldn't? Oh, damn. We wouldn't have the wars and the chosen, all of that. There's a lot of stuff we wouldn't have. That would be terrible, right? We wouldn't have World War III, probably. Back to 400 more people killed last. Like, is there anybody left alive in Palestine? Or that's fine. That's okay. It's just using our money and our weapons and our troops to do all of this. And
Israeli Prime Minister, maybe.
Well, the Trump administration and the White House were consulted by the Israelis on their attacks in Gaza tonight. And as President Trump has made it clear, Hamas, the Houthis, Iran, all those who seek to terrorize, not just
Iran, right. They've been telegraphing this for, I don't, you know. Who fucking cares? We're doing this, I guess. I'm not going. I'll fight you right here before I get on a fucking truck or boat and go fight anybody else anywhere in the world. I don't have any enemies. I don't have enemies anywhere in the world. I have them here in Canada. Palestinians didn't lock me in my house. Hamas didn't kill my friends. Russians didn't give people medical injections that made them go blind, close their businesses, and give themselves pay raises while they shuttered everybody's means of feeding themselves. They didn't do that. Ottawa did that. The premiers did that. The mayors, the political class, and the media, that's who did that. So if they're going to try to solicit support for another campaign of violence against our enemies. I mean, sure, if we have enemies that are hurting and killing people and are a threat to the safety and integrity of our lives and so on in Canada, of Canadian people, I'll fight them. But those people are in Ottawa. They're not outside the country. The managers of the people in Ottawa certainly are, but was it the Russians and it was Hamas that was arresting kids for playing basketball, skating? Was it the Chinese tasering pastors? Did Iran send 200 cops to prevent people from going to church? Was that Iran? Did that? Who did that? Who gave themselves massive pay raises while taxing to oblivion people that could barely feed themselves to stay alive? Years after the fact that the average household was $200 between insolvency and not. Was that Iran? Did Iran do that? Who gave all of our equipment and weapons away? Did Russia do that? Who filled the country with Indians? Hamas do that? Who's censoring the internet? Who's putting people in jail for wrongthink? Who's freezing bank accounts? Was it Russia? People most enthusiastic and supportive of war are the people that know the least about it. If there was some politician out there waving a Ukraine flag around saying, oh, we got to support Ukraine, we got to get stand up to the Russians, you guys, it should be socially acceptable to walk up and just deck him. Put you right on your ass. You shut the fuck up. You go over there and fight then. Warmongering piece of shit. You know what you're talking about. Hey, you were fighting a lot of wars, have you, Charlie?
You're just a Putin troll.
You hate him. Get in there, Charlie. You're old enough. They'll take you. There's volunteers in their 60s over there. Why aren't you over there, Charlie? Charlie Angus, why aren't you over there? You care about it so much. You care more about that place than you do Canada, clearly. So why the fuck aren't you over there right now? I fucking did my part, Charlie. Where's yours? Let's see them. Let's see the fucking medals you got. Pierre the Red, let's see them. Lay them out. You don't have any? Then shut the fuck up.
telling anybody who we need to be fighting. What do you know about fighting? Have you even been in a fist fight in your life? At least Justin Trudeau will get in a boxing ring. Will you even do that? Will you even do that? Tell me more about fighting. Tell me more about who the Canadian people need to die fighting next. A politician who's promoting war is a scum of the earth. And there's been lots of great artists and songs and stuff over the years about that, you know, anti-war stuff. And it's not, I'm not anti-war to the point of, you know, I'm not a hippie, you know. You got to, I'm a nationalist, you know. I believe in you. You should have a strong, very strong, you should have the strongest, most scariest military you can afford. You know why? Because that is the best chance you have at never having to use it. It's the same reason why being in good shape and knowing how to fight and carry yourself and being confident is the best way to protect yourself and ensure that you probably won't ever have to fight. Because if a predator is looking around for somebody to rob or fuck with or break it, they're not going to look at that guy who, you know, he's in shape, he looks strong. I don't know. Oh, look at this. Look at that guy playing Guitar Hero. I think he looks like an easy target. There was another guy on a podcast I was listening to a little while ago talking about child predators, and he said he was interviewing this guy, and he said, what, like, a child predator, he was a cop or something, and said, how did you choose your victims? Like, what was the pattern? Because he was attacking, you know, kids of boys, girls, different races, ethnicity. It didn't matter. It was just children in general. And he said the criminal, the predator, pedophile, said the ones that didn't have impressive looking dads around, the ones that the men looked like they weren't a threat, that's who I went after, because I knew that no one was going to stop me. It's the exact same mentality. That's why they have that old Latin saying, sic para parabellum. If you want peace, prepare for war. You want to be safe? You want to stay? You want to have nothing to worry about? Then you better have some scary fucking monsters out there guarding the wall. That's the only way you can be even remotely content that you might be okay, because nobody wants to deal with that. That's the whole point. That's the point of investing in training and trying to be as good and as deadly and as frightening as possible so that you don't have to do it. You avoid it and hide from it and go, I don't like that. It's toxic, basically. It's scary. You're increasing and almost guaranteeing the odds that it will happen to you, because there are predators in the world everywhere. And they look for targets like you that are easy to take down, like the gazelle that's at the back of the pack, the sick one, the lame one, the weaker one, can't quite keep up. Who's the lion eating? The strong one, the fastest one at the front? Mm-mm. The weak one at the back. So you are endangering your people by not having that. Like, do you have a home without a fire extinguisher? You don't have a first aid kit? Like, you don't have them hoping that someone slashes their leg open when they fall down the stair. Oh, look, an arterial bleed. That's amazing. You don't want that to happen. You don't want to wake up in the middle of the night and go, oh, the kitchen's on fire. That's great. That's not what you want to have. But you do what you need to do to prevent and mitigate. Should that happen, that it's something you can handle. You don't go, oh, well, I'm just going to avoid that and hope it never happens in that way. It's ridiculous. And then, you know, we got these people that think that's how the world works. And the people that are least knowledgeable at it are the most pro-war. Donald Trump loves his wars. He's a draft dodger. He is. I don't care if you like him or if you love him or whatever. I've had bone spurs. You don't have bone spurs. You just didn't want to go to Vietnam. And you had a rich daddy with connections, so you didn't go. You know that CCR song, Fortunate Son? Go listen to that again. You know that song's about Donald Trump. People like that. That's how the world really works. Oh, are you poor? Get in the truck. Oh, you actually have bone spurs? It doesn't matter. Your daddy's not a congressman or a senator or a mayor. You don't have a fancy company. No, get in. Get in. Get in. You're going 031 infantry and you're going to Quezon. You're going to be going to the meat grinder. You're probably not coming back. But we have to, because reasons that don't make any sense to anyone. Because we made up a fake ship that never existed that got attacked by a North Vietnamese torpedo boat that doesn't exist. in the Gulf of Tonkin incident that never happened. So that's why everybody's dead in Vietnam. Ha ha! You like that? You like that? Oh, Jesus, is it another fall? Every fucking war since before the First World War has been fought on a lie. Every one of them. Every one of them. Lie, 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 lie. Rile people up. Tell them something. Oh, my God. Yeah. Get in there. Get in there. Get in there. I got to make that money. Get in there. Who's up there leading the charge every time? Politicians and media. People that stand to benefit. It's good for their careers. It's good for their investments. You think they're not sinking all kinds of money into Lockheed Martin, General Dynamics, Boeing? Oh, we're going to bomb Iran. That's great. Our stocks just went up 20%. I'm so rich now. Oh, that's convenient, Nancy Pelosi. How much money did you make over the last 10 years? A lot. Look at that. Wow. Who pays the bill? I mean, the taxpayers pay the tax bill. But who pays the real bill? Is the bill taxes? Is it money? Because at the end of the day, when the war is over, what do you lose? Do you lose money? Yeah, but is that it? Maybe you lose territory? Equipment, vehicles? You can replace and regain all of those things. You can't replace dead people. Fathers, sons, friends, uncles, cousins, moms, daughters, they don't come back. And the children that they would have had never exist. The work they could have done back home around the world never happens. The businesses they could have started don't get started. The follow-on generations of those people, all of that, you lose all of that. You don't even just lose that person. You lose all of the other, everything they could have ever done and been, all gone. All gone. For what? Well, there's a book, it's magic and stuff, and Slava, and like Putin. We need to draft people in the army. Bob Dylan had a good one, Masters of War. That's a nice one. This song reminds me of that. I used to play a lot of, you know, once in a while I play some, you know, stuff I would find and like on here. And I just haven't seen much, not a lot of art these days, anything really worth doing. But this guy's great. I've seen probably 10 or 20 of the songs he's put out on YouTube and stuff now. He's got, I don't know, 364,000 subscribers on YouTube. Pretty good. But again, attention is split into 50 different thousand directions. There's no big mega superstars anymore, except maybe Taylor Swift or something. But he's done well for himself, but he should be a lot more famous than he is. And if he was around in the 70s, he probably would be super famous. But it's just not how it is anymore. World's different. But as far as songs about war go, this one's great. I'm going to leave you with this for a minute. I'll be right back, and then we'll get the fuck out of here. But here's to you. You warmongering, ignorant fucks. You want to go? You go do it yourself. See how much fun it is.
War is a murder. Good men don't die. Children don't starve and all the women survive. War is a murder. Lies that they slay and you're fighting the devil. Murder's okay. War is a murder. They're called casualties. There ain't a veteran with a good night's sleep. Let's talk about dead people. I mean a dead people. The dead don't feel honor. They don't feel that brave. They don't feel the things. They're lucky if they got grace. Call your dead mother. Ask her when she died. It's a deathly silence on the other line. The dead don't talk, but their children don't forget. So in 20 short years, you can live to regret that. War isn't murder. There's money at stake. Hell, even Kushner agrees it's good a real estate. War isn't murder. Ask Netanyahu. He's got a song for that. He's got a bomb for you. War isn't murder. It's an old involved as in faith. It's a nation state sanctioned righteous hate. Let's talk about dead people. I mean our dead people. War is a murder, it's the vengeance of God. If you can't see the bodies, they don't blow when they rot. And the flies don't swarm and the children don't cry. If war is a murder, good men don't die. So in a short 20 years, will you vacation the strip? Try not to think about the dead and have a nice trip. War is a murder, let's all give thanks. I saw it all in a movie, give it up for Tom Hanks. War is a murder, they don't ship out the poor. And the bullets they fire ain't part of the cure. War is a murder, land is a right. But the bank's called dibs, it's something you can't fight. Let's talk about dead people. I mean our dead people. The dead don't feel honor, they don't feel that brave. Don't feel avenged, they're lucky if they got graves. Call your dead mother, ask her when she died. It's a deathly silence on the other line. The dead don't talk, but the children don't forget. So in 20 short years, you could live to regret that.
Yeah, what does happen to all those people?
Oh, you ship them back home. You spend 20 years blowing up half the world, all over the Middle East, for the chosen people, because their magic book said so. I mean, you destroyed their families, their homes, you know, that, and they grow up, and everybody goes, where did ISIS come from? Jeez, I don't know. My guess is as good as yours. And you ship them all here to live in the countries responsible for doing all of the bombing. It's a solid strategy. I mean, that's what Israel wants. So, I mean, we got to do what they say. They're chosen. And if you don't like it, Netanyahu's got a bomb for you, too. You heard the song. I've tried to end with this video a couple of times now, but I was talking a little bit earlier, and it's a good one. This will work tonight, and I'll get it off the docket, so to speak. Just kidding. Encouraging to hear somebody talk with Gen Z with respect. And their kids. And, you know, yeah, and people will say, oh, they're all soft and spoiled and whiny and entitled. And, yeah, that's all true. But again, the immune—it's the instinctual immune system of the organism that is people. Kids have a role to play, as do everyone has a job to do in this organism of society. It's the job of the older folks. I mean, you're 60, so you're supposed to be mentoring the guys that are 30 and 40, maybe even early 50. Like they've already done all this, and to save you time, and avoid errors and so on. They're trying to coach you and try to impart as much of what they learned into you so that you can get further ahead than they did. And then when you're 60 and 70, you can do the same for the following generation. And you know, the guys that are 30 and 40 and 50, they're running everything. You got to show up. Hey, who are you looking around for to help? It's you. You're it. It's that. It's time to go. What are you doing? Playing video games or helping your people in society? And if you're in your 20s, kind of the same thing. You're supposed to be helping those guys and learning, kind of on the job, apprenticing until you get into your like mid-30s, mid-40s, and then you start to take over. And you go, well, younger than that? Well, they're kids. What's their job? Like, how do they make society grow? They test the fences. They got that useful energy, and they're like the quality control inspectors, if you will. If your shit's all, if it's no good, they'll tear it down, and it deserves to be torn down. But right now, what kind of people do you need to tear this down? Do you need smart people? Do you need educated people? Do you need politicians and lawyers and bankers? What is the one defining characteristic, if you could pick one thing, in a whole generation of people, kids especially, that would be Everything else can be fucked. Whiny, soft, entitled, all of that. There's one thing that's underneath all of that. If they have that, all of that can be fixed. All of that can be improved. I was a soft little, you know, by no means the hardest guy in the world, but I can tell you that you can fix those things. But if you're a coward, I mean, you're talking about the claw, you're talking about the empire, you're talking about they're taking your future, they're taking everything. They don't want just your money and your home. They want your soul. They want your identity. They want you to forget who you are and throw it all away into a toilet. Just shut up and die. Eat the salad and die. They don't want your soul. You need people that are not just courageous, fearless, to the point of almost craziness. It just so happens that appears to be the defining characteristic of Gen Z, is that they don't give a fuck about anything. They may not be as strong and as tough and as worldly and all that, you know, they grew up soft and all that stuff, but they're here for it. And they'll show up and they aren't afraid of too much. It just so happens it's exactly what you need. Those are exactly the kind of people you need. If they've got guts, anything's possible. And coming right after them is Gen Alpha. And they're not only fearless, but hey, they're growing up on the internet too. They know what time it is. They see the videos and they see the AI translations and they read the forbidden documents and go on the no-no websites and all of that. And they're growing up in the results of, I mean, they can see it. They can read what happened and what's been said and what's been, you know, laws that have been passed and changes that have been made. And they can look and go, yeah, this is where I'm at. And they're 15 and they got nothing to look forward to. What happens when they're 5-6 more years older? Check out this clip from Sean Ryan's podcast. I think he was—I don't know—he was a SEAL or some kind of special operations guy. I'm pretty sure. But he's talking to a guy. I don't remember the name. He was a Navy SEAL as well. But they had a little talk about, you know, Sean said, you know, and it's something I've wondered too, because I've been out for a little while, and since I've been out, like when I would have gotten out of the Army, these guys, Gen Z, they would have been teenagers. They would have been 16, 15 years old at that time. They weren't even in the military, but now they are. It was 2017 when I left, so it's, you know, almost 8 years ago now, so they're in there, and they're going to SEAL team training, like everybody, you know, and you wonder, how did they make out? What kind of people are they? What kind of character are they? It's a great question. Let's find out.
I was Gen Z at Naval Special Warfare.
Simon Sinek wrote a book, Leaders Eat Last, is one of my favorites. And in it, he talks about these generational differences and how important it is as leaders to evolve to be relevant to these next generations. So my observations with Gen Z, very high EQ, very impressive. They have a low tolerance for abuse of authority. They're unimpressed. Some people look at them as...
They're unimpressed, and they have low tolerance for abuse of authority. Damn, what does that sound like everywhere all the time?
You're too disrespectful. Like, you don't value the hierarchical structure that we put in place. I don't see it as that, actually. I think it's that they're, and in a sense, we're almost slowing them down as a military. Some of the things I did notice that are negatives, to quote an Italian soft guy, they don't bruise well. Some of them were helicopter parented, I think, growing up. They don't handle failure well. When they fail at something, sometimes they emotionally crumble, and we saw candidates do that. They've got a lot more courage to stand up to authority than any of us ever did. Let me give you an example. We had this young guy in Buds. He had a mistake out in town, and so he was going to come before me as the CO board. And like we talked about, every candidate writes a letter. It's their last appeal. I read it before we bring them in and then question them and make our decisions. But the title of his letter was Fear No Man. So already I was like, what's this guy's deal? So my CMC, Dave Hansen's like, hey, yo, let me put some rounds across this guy's bow. Let's try to rattle him. Let's find out what this is all about. Is this ego? So dude comes in, sits down, and my CMC's just letting him have it. If we had a pulse oximeter or whatever it is, I don't think his pulse would have jumped one beat. Dude just sat there and took it. He was like, hey, I don't think I made a mistake. Here's what I did. Here are the facts of my case. I stand by it. I regret that we're in this room and we found ourselves here, but I stand by my decisions and what I did and my choices. We're like, this guy's impressive. And the last question I asked him, I said, hey, man, I have a question for you. You wrote Fear No Man. Right now, I've got all the authority in the world to let you continue on in your dream of becoming a Navy SEAL or end your career right now and move on to something else. Do you fear me? And without skipping a beat, this dude leans forward. He goes, no, sir, but I respect you. That's Gen Z in a nutshell.
How is Gen Z?
Get it? So, I have an appreciation for life. I've seen enough and experienced enough, and I feel like I'm humble enough to appreciate that and just kind of not try to overthink it and outsmart nature and reality, God, whatever you want to say. This is all beyond me and all of us. And nature is almost, it's a perfect system. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to do. It may not be the way you want it to be every day and every hour and whatever, but has a way of sorting everything out, doesn't it? A self-correcting system. It's almost like it's got a mind of its own. You heard him. We all do our jobs, what we're supposed to do. Not supposed to spend all night playing Guitar Hero. You're not supposed to be obese and addicted to pills. You're not supposed to do any of this. What are you supposed to do? What are these guys supposed to be doing? Do that. Older folks should be mentoring and helping the people that are pulling the wagons and doing the best they can and passing on their advice and their wisdom and trying to help steer them and coach them. Those guys have to pull the wagons. They have to do the work and they have to make good and smart decisions and they have to, you know, help coach and mentor, you know, the guys that are younger in their, you know, 20s, and those guys have to do their job and the kids are doing their job. So, I mean, the numbers are what they are. The inflection points are what they are. All of the pressure points, everything that's happening, the economy's crashing, the demographic replacement, all of this stuff. It's all coming to a head right now. Don't worry about 20 years from now or 50 years. It's all right now. This is it. For all the marbles. Because after this next generation, like, who's taking over? We don't have any numbers. Everybody knows there's no kids. This is it. It's all lining up to that. And it seems unavoidable. So all we have to do is just everybody do your job. And if everybody does their job, then everything complements each other. You've got the mentorship and the wisdom and the experience of the older people that have seen it all and been here the longest, and they know what people are like and about, and they're, you know, you've got the backbone, the NCO core, you know, the 30 and 40 and 50 year old guys. And then you've got the troops, the young guys, and then you've got the kids, the up and comers, the draft picks. Everybody's working together. Everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing as an organism, as a society, complementing each other all towards the same end. Survival and justice. And the scariest thing for our enemies should be that's all of us working together as a team for the same reason, for the same purpose, the same objective. And, I mean, man, as far as teams go, you want to crack open a history book, you know? When Whitey puts down the nonsense and puts the bottle away and everybody gets serious and starts working together, you know, the ground tends to shake. And nobody's really got anything to lose either. You know, I know it. They know it. And they see the injustice, the stealing, and the piggery, and they don't like it. No blood. Can't imagine. They don't. The younger generation doesn't respect the corrupt bullshit, huh?
Damn, that's bad news for somebody, huh?
Have you guys got a plan for this, or? Get a front row seat, man. Generations with nothing to lose, huh? That's poetry. That's where great stories come out of stuff like that, you know? You don't get to have those redemption arcs without real shitty low periods, right? And if you can survive it and struggle through it and be there to fucking fight another day when the weather changes, when the sun comes out, you can't appreciate it. You don't deserve it. But if you do... Probably shouldn't have killed all those moms and dads. Probably shouldn't have done that. Because it's 20 years later and... Time to pay your bills. Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. Ilya Hart, at the very end, I became a grandma tonight. Congratulations. Good for you. There's the good news for everybody. There's one more. One more to the pile. You heard Rowdy Roddy. Get out there and start fucking getting it done. It's fun. Don't you like doing it? And who doesn't love a baby, you know? Thank you very much, guys. I appreciate it. If you want to support me, you can click the link at ko-fi.com/diagonal, and the link is in the description at the bottom. I appreciate it. We'll be back next time, Friday, probably. Until then, get after it. It's only you against you. Be better tomorrow than you were today, and just don't worry about it. Keep putting one foot in front of the other. That's all that matters. Six up a Tyrannus, Pompadro! See you on the beach. It's on the way.
I don't think anybody's going to pay for that, Phil. That's not something I would. No, that wasn't why. No, the chats weren't for you. No, he was. It was a whole thing. No, Jens. He didn't think I would. No one wants to tickle your ball. No one's going to pay you to do that. Are they? I would be surprised. Morgan, would you pay to tickle Phil's balls? Are you shaking your head no or maybe? It's hard to tell. I mean, look, man, it's been a long week. It's March. March break's over. You can't. It's St. Patty's Day. You were drinking. McGregor, what is. Then go hang out with. Maybe Conor McGregor will invest in your scratch my balls business or Gen Z. I don't know. Just. You've had better ideas. I don't know.
She's not going to do it. I'm going to. Go ask them. They'll do it. Somebody will do it. Oh, there are these people on the list will probably do it. That's better.